morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, what's going on? 866-901-ADAM. I'll talk to you if you call in. Sure, why not? I'm not that proud. Marco Andretti. Marco Andretti's on the phone. Actually, Marco Andretti's coming into studio. Our next break's probably about 15, 20 minutes from now. He's the 19-year-old Indy racing driver's grandson of the great A.J. Foyt. Oh, no.
Wait.
So I got to talk to someone. Marco Andretti, great Mario Andretti. And then his dad, his whole family, Michael Andretti, family race. So he's the youngest to win an IRL race, which is Indy Racing League, I believe. Open wheel guy. Not quite Formula One, but listen, we're uptight over here. You know what? You know what? I realize why the rest of the world thinks we're simpletons. You could really just break it down to automobiles. We love our NASCAR. NASCAR is old technology, you know, big block American engines with push rods and carburetors, and it's super low tech stuff. I mean, it's moonshine running, hillbilly banjo picking kind of stuff. Now, they do whatever technology they can do with what they have, but the technology, the engine in a NASCAR is essentially the same as cars were from the 30s and maybe before. Iron block, carburetor, pretty straightforward push rods, just kind of straightforward stuff, whereas the Formula One stuff is much more advanced, yet we're not really interested in that here.
Well, would the Formula One car, if you put them on the same track, would that win? If an Indy car, a Formula One car, and a NASCAR all were side by and they all raced each other,
these are the questions of the ages.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, would a Kodiak or Bengal Tiger, Kodiak Bear, Bengal Tiger? It you know, definitely depends on what track. Obviously, if it had turns in it, the Grand Prix car would win. If it was just a big oval, maybe the Grand Prix car would do better than the... But those cars are all set up for their specific tracks, so it depends. It's like different sports are played on different fields, and if baseball was played on a football field, then the football player would have the advantage or whatever the crappy analogy
Not
is.
Not to mention the driver, the importance of the driver.
I just go by price of the car. The Grand Prix car, the Formula One car, is millions of dollars, whereas the other ones are relatively cheap. Expensive, but relatively cheap. All right, where are we? Yes. What did I want to say? I had something to say, and I can't remember what it is. Driving in this morning. What the hell was I thinking about? I got going. Anyway, we're going to play What Can Adam Complain About? His memory will be at the top of the list. Manny Puig. This is a guy I wanted. Normally, I just sit back and watch Mike August book C-list celebrities on this show. But I got involved and I said, I got a D-lister I want on this show. And his name is Manny Puig, the shark hunter. He's the daredevil guy. He's the guy who goes out with the wild boys on MTV and jumps. There's film of the guy jumping on the back of hammerhead sharks and being dragged across the ocean. I've seen him noodling big sea bass, 500-pound sea bass. Noodling is when you put your fist in their mouth. You can catch catfish that way, evidently.
Really?
Yeah.
You just reach in with your fist and pull the fish out?
You put your fist in there, and maybe the fish tries to eat your hand. I don't know how it goes, but any way you slice it.
I don't like using my body parts as bait.
Yeah, it's
seems
bad. It's a good point. Still, I can still think of one part that's worse than fist, but you don't have it, so you're cool.
Thank you.
Or
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Also, Kobayashi is going to be calling in. The great Kobayashi.
He loves you.
He loves me, but he has hatred for all other Americans. What a competitor.
Champion, the hot dog eating champion.
Yes, and I will finish my Tijuana story much more. Let's see who's on line two. Glenn?
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I remember what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, Glenn.
Sorry, Glenn. So close. Don't go anywhere, though, buddy. I was on the cover of this new magazine called Hollywood Covered. And it was just a big shot of yours truly right on the cover of one of these oversized magazines. I don't know where you get them. I guess it's one of these things that they give away at restaurants or, you know, they're in the pile when you walk into the Starbucks. I think that somebody told me that. the I'm on the cover, and they were having some kind of party, some sort of launch party for their magazine. And since I was the first person on the cover of their magazine, then they wanted me to come to the launch party. That was Friday night. Now, you guys tell me what's wrong. Everybody does this. Everyone plays that thing where they go, I'm not into the limelight. And I don't like the attention and all that. It's something that people feel compelled to say. But I don't not like it. I'm just not comfortable with it. And I would rather stay home in my heart of hearts. I think everyone feels like they need to say, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with that. Maybe so, but why did you take the bedazzler to your stonewashed denim jacket then with your son's initials on the back? I love him. Mm-hmm. Well, one would argue you're walking around with a bedazzler-laden jacket. Maybe you don't mind attention so much. Plus, you drive a pink convertible. You know, it's like a lot of those people who make that announcement, or they have unicorns spray-painted on their fingernails, but yet they don't like the limelight, well,
particularly
don't like
with
the
celebrity
attention.
Particularly with celebrities, they get into it because they want attention, I assume. A lot of people pursue celebrity because of narcissism.
Look,
and then
just ask Dr. Drew.
I saw Sharon Stone driving down the street in Pasadena once, many years ago, in a convertible Aston Martin, you know, blonde hair blowing in the wind, big sunglasses, top down, and I thought, well, she must be loving it because, first off, she's going to get 5 weirdos a day following her up to her hillside home. And if I were her husband, that's the kind of thing I'd put the kibosh on immediately. But they're loving it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Howard Hughes didn't love it. He put a limo tint on his car, and he never got out of the back seat. And when he did, he'd do it at night with a blanket over his head. He didn't love it. Sharon Stone, evidently. Now, Sharon Stone would say, I don't like all the attention. I'm not one of these glam stars who just goes and wants to walk down the red carpet. You're telling me that from a red carpet.
Right.
You understand?
In a bedazzled dress.
In a bedazzler dress. Yes, most of the celebrities that explain that they don't like the celebrity life and the limelight and they like to just do their work are talking to somebody from Entertainment Tonight on a red carpet. Now, don't go. I always say, like, Jodie Foster, she's a big celebrity. Never see her anywhere. She doesn't go down the red carpet. But
she goes down another carpet.
That's right. That's right. It's a rust color, depending on how the light is. My point is I don't like it. And I know I say it, but I don't want to go to these things. I had to go to this thing on Friday night because I was on the cover of this thing and they're throwing this party for me, but I didn't know what to do. And of course, I always talk my wife out of going to anything because I always say, I'll be faster that way. I'll get in, do a little glad hand and get the hell out of there. I'll be home. Start planning when I'm coming home. It was Friday night. I'm like, Dave, I don't like going anywhere. We were out of town. Makes it worse. We were out of town. All I wanted to do is be left alone with my beloved red wine and my TiVo on Friday night. But I said, look, it's 8:15. I got to get out of here. I'll come right back. So it's a Hollywood hotspot, trendy club, Falcon, I think the name of the club is, on Sunset. So first, I'm lamenting the parking. Ooh, what am I going to do? Where am I going to park my car, valet, all that kind of stuff. Then I think to myself, now I'm going to see people, and they're going to want to talk. And there's big cardboard foam core pictures of me on easels on the cover of this magazine I've never heard of because it doesn't exist, with a bunch of people I don't know. And I have to do the very uncomfortable thing, which is walk in front of my own huge likeness on my way while people are stopping and they're drunk and they're talking to me. It's not a Hollywood A-listers party. There's just some people that might look familiar to you, but no big deal. Then I have that thing where I go to the bar. I'm going to get a drink, but of course the bartender with the ponytail and the trendy shades is not getting me a drink until some drunk guy has to come up and start yelling, this is the guy this is his party. Do you see that picture? I'm like, okay, just be quiet. This is fine. I'm lamenting the entire process. I get in my car. I lasted right about an hour. I was there for about 55 minutes. I jump back. I slide out the back door. I jump into my car and I head back home, rush home to get to my television set. And I think to myself, wow, that was uncomfortable. And then I think, do you have to hate these kinds of things? And if you hate this, imagine how much you're going to hate chopping wood or something that really actually does suck. And then I think, couldn't I just have enjoyed this? These guys saw fit to put you on the cover of their magazine. Now they want to throw a party and there's big pictures of you. And all anyone wants to do is come up and shake your hand and be nice and take a picture with you in front of the picture of you on the magazine. And I hadn't read the article. They faxed, they emailed it to me. I think you guys know that maybe about a week or so ago, right. But it was too small. And then I had the uncomfortable conversation of, this is Jenny Bukowski. She wrote the article. What did you think, Adam? Great stuff. That's good stuff.
I hope they just don't call Dave fat in it.
No, they don't.
That would be a step forward.
I did that. I then read it later on, and then they're like, "Well, what do you think? What do you think of the article?" I didn't get a chance to read it. Oh, no. What about the magazine? You got the magazine? No, I didn't. No one. I don't. Could I take one? I could take one with me, though, right? We have them here.
Yes, I cannot read it at home.
So I took it with me, and I read it when I got home, but.
Was it nice?
Ruska's card, by the way.
Oh, caller two, Steeler game.
Thanks, Ruska.
That doesn't break the flow at all.
Nah.
Right in line with the story.
I thought you were done with the story.
I didn't.
I just came in from outside. Marco Andretti's outside. I was talking to him. I just came in. I thought you were winding up with the story. By the way, you don't have to take that card. It's just for what's next. I'm trying to help you for what's next. It's for what's next.
Well, we got to go to break, right? It's 11 after.
We could, but I also want to take some calls.
I'm throwing you a bone, Corolla.
I'm trying to help you out.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth,
I'm trying to help you out so you know where to go next. And yes, we could take a break next, but I also want to get some calls.
Well, Marco Andretti's here, right?
I hear you. He's fine.
I'm here for you, Corolla.
But I was going to talk to Glenn. That's where I was.
Oh, okay. I was outside.
Okay. All right. I'm here.
Let's work together.
All right.
Listen,
what was I saying?
Yes. Oh, about this part, did you finally read the article and was it nice?
Yes, I read the article and it was nice. I just could never. I didn't want to go. I was lamenting having to get out of my house on Friday night and go to the event. I was happy to get out of there and I just wanted to hustle home. And I essentially treated it emotionally as if somebody had said, "Go get my car out of impound."
Right.
That's about what it felt to me. Like somebody said to me Friday night at 8:30, I need you to drive down to Santa Monica, give the guy $55 and go get my car and I'll follow you back in my car. It was met with about the same on the dreadometer. Sort of, it wasn't a spinal tap. It was, this is an inconvenience met with. I'd rather stay home, but all right, I'll do what I have to do. I'm not going to be an a-hole. That's about where the whole thing went down with me.
I thought,
what a way to go through life.
Not enjoying things that are supposed to be fun.
Who are the people that enjoy that moment, though, of being alone in a party?
With all that pressure and eyes
people,
on you?
And then people, looking at you on top of it? That doesn't sound
I don't
fun.
Think anyone actually enjoys... Well, some people do, but I think people enjoy the feeling of there's this party and it's thrown on your behalf. You're not going to be carrying hors d'oeuvres around the party. You're the featured. Mm. It's your birthday party. It's not someone else's birthday party you're attending. I guess that just is how it goes. Do you want it to be your party or do you want to be attending someone's party? I would rather attend someone's party. That way I can leave whenever I want.
I don't have to talk to people. Yes.
Yes. All right. Glenn.
Yes, sir.
The Steelers didn't win last night.
Oh, my gosh. What a heartbreaker. I feel so bad about it, let me tell you. Oh, man, Jacksonville is just awesome. But, I feel so bad that after so many consecutive victories that the Steelers just had to just pull this one.
Is Chong going to call in also or just Cheech?
The Steelers were just so... sucky. They couldn't score a single point.
All right, Glenn.
What happened there?
Yeah, they lost. They lost their first out of the last, 13 games or something.
Well, you know what? Yesterday was the first day I decided to watch pro football again because the Rams left town, and I haven't watched basically since then. And I decided...
You haven't watched in 10 years?
I mean, I've watched here and there, but, not a whole game.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday I decided because a couple of players joined the Jacksonville team, and I watched the game, the first game last weekend, and I said, oh, okay, just part of the game, and I said, oh, this team is great. I'm gonna decide to go ahead and watch pro football again. And then I heard that the Jacksonville team was rumored to be coming to L.A.
This is damn exciting stuff.
This is my team. Okay, so I just decided to
just watch the game.
Hold on, I got a note from Brusket. Got to talk
what
to Marco Andretti.
Oh, Marco Andretti.
And you're done with the phone call.
All right, Glenn.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Steelers.
I don't have to give any
so bad, and I was thinking, who is that Dave Damashek guy who loves the Steelers so much? What is he going to say tomorrow morning? I want to hear what he has to say.
Well, what do you have to say, Dave?
What do you have to say? Brasca's walked out of the studio. He's very upset.
Well,
he's bad.
As far as the Steeler game went, I've erased it from my memory bank. And if this is this guy's first football game in 10 years, I'm sure he'll never watch another one. 9-0 was the most boring game in the world. Now, on to Brusca.
What happened to Brusca's hair?
Well, what happened was, I'll tell you, what happened to his hair and the reason he didn't know what was going on the first 8 minutes of the show is because he was in the bathroom. He was busy slapping his meat.
And meanwhile...
You haven't used that before.
While Glenn was in his monologue about his first football game, I looked up the photos of Adam from the party standing in front of a giant foam core poster of his face. That would be uncomfortable.
It is. All right, Glenn.
All right, man.
All right, you're out here in L.A.?
I'm in L.A., yeah.
That's right.
Been a Rams fan for years.
Well, I'll tell you, we'll get those Jags out here any day now. What were there? 10,000-12,000 people in the stadium?
29 of the 32 teams are rumored to be moving to L.A. at any given time.
Yes.
Well, that one is the one that I want.
All right, Glenn. What's the day have in store for you? Where are you going?
Well, I'm going to work.
Where do you work?
I own real estate, but I also have a job in computers, working with computers.
It takes brass balls to sell real estate.
What do you do with the computers?
Basically, I'm involved in doing the maintenance of lots of computers over the whole campus.
Uh-huh. What campus?
Cal State LA.
Mm. All right. Well, go Hokies. What's the name of that team?
Cal?
I don't think they have teams, do they?
Cal State has a L.A. Yeah,
they have
something.
No,
they have
that's
no names.
I'm a fan of UCLA Bruins.
I understand. Boy, it must be tough to be you, Glenn. You have no professional teams. You got to root for Jacksonville. You have no college teams. You work at one college. You have to root for a neighboring college. That sucks.
Life is rough.
Who's your wife? Your neighbor's wife? All right. We'll take a quick break.
The Golden Eagles, by the way.
Ah.
Golden State.
Well, how does he not know that?
He works there.
Real quick. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Everyone's calling in saying Willie Nelson got busted with drugs. Yeah, that's not news to anyone who knows Willie Nelson. B?
Yeah.
You're saying Willie Nelson got busted for drugs?
He had his tour bus got stopped in a traffic stop, and he had a pound of weed and 3 ounces of shrooms.
Mm.
0.2 ounces.
Yeah. That's fine.
Oh, there you go.
That's fine. Well, everyone,
I think that makes him a bigger celebrity, though.
It's interesting.
Where does that put him?
I like the shrooms part, to me. I mean, the idea that a dude in his late 60s, early 70s, or however old Willie Nelson is, it seems he's been in his early 70s since the early 70s, but however old he is, when you're dropping shrooms at that age, those are brass ones, my friend.
I tip my
hat to you.
Yes, I've said it many times before. Listen, this is the time to pick up heavy drug use is in your golden
years.
Why
not hallucinate that you're still 29 like I do?
Of course.
Now, by the way, does the shrooms give Willie Nelson the edge on The Rock or Tony Hawk in terms of our Outbook August contest?
I certainly in the news, but I still don't think so. Plus, his phoner was not good enough. The Rock's phoner was much better. All right, speaking of big-name guests, Marco Andretti, IndyCar driver, youngest IndyCar driver to win a race, I believe, is coming in studio. We'll talk to him about that after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
This season, all the buzz has been about 19-year-old rookie Marco Andretti.
If I was any more aggressive on the last couple laps, I probably would have been into the wall.
Marco's breakthrough came at the Indy 500 when he placed second in a thrilling finish to Sam Hornish Jr.
I don't think you can get through an IRL race without having a close call, you know? But that's what makes it fun, I guess.
Now, 19-year-old IndyCar sensation Marco Andretti on the Adam Carolla Show.
I miss this song.
What is this?
It's Deep Purple, Highway Star. It's back when bands used to sing about their hair and their wheels. Mm. You know what I mean? And their lady. He covers all the bases.
Yeah. Marco Andretti knows all about
way
all those
before
things.
Your time.
Okay, a little bit before our time.
This song probably came out 11 years before you were born. Look at him, still wet behind the ears.
He's so adorable.
So young. Marco Andretti is so young that I was told he could not drive a car with a beer or booze sponsor. Is that true?
Yeah. Yep.
But you're not drinking the fender. Even, although you guys don't have fenders.
I can't promote it, though, I guess.
You can't promote it?
Nope.
It's weird.
Well, how old a fella are you?
19.
19.
Wow.
But he had his first kiss at 12, right?
Yeah, I don't know where you guys got that.
Where did we get that?
So I'm looking right at it on my car. Is that true?
Yeah, I guess. If it says it.
Yeah, got to be true. He's thinking more 10 or 11. But you've had a drink before, right? You got a fake ID, right?
No. No, I can't because, I mean, you know, you hand them a John Smith ID and they recognize you, I think.
Right.
That wouldn't be good.
Do they, I'm just wondering, like, seems like about everyone I grew up with had a fake ID, but now in this day of people checking for terrorists instead of teenagers buying beer, has that gone the way of the dodo? Can anyone get a fake ID anymore? Is it? This is one thing the terrorists have definitely screwed up, is the fake ID for the 17-year-olds who are going on the beer run. Marco. Yeah. We were asking this question about 10 minutes ago, the difference between the Grand Prix cars, the IRL cars, the NASCARs. What's the difference?
Grand Prix meaning the Formula One. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's where you'll find the most technology. You know, the IRL cars are mainly built for ovals. You know, the top speed's a lot quicker than a Formula One car.
Mm-hmm.
They'll corner a lot faster than us. I think the difference between us and NASCAR, for one, I got to say the speed. We're definitely...
You're going faster.
We're going faster.
And you're open wheel, which seems more dangerous to me.
Definitely the consequences would be a lot worse if we touch. You know, those guys are bumping the whole race, you know, and we're running, you know, our wheels, you know, just as close as we can possibly do it without touching. Sometimes we do.
Yeah, if those guys trade paint, they're hitting door on door, which just makes a few sparks and a little friction. Sometimes someone goes in a wall. But if those two tires hit when they're turning at those kind of RPMs, someone's getting in the air.
Yep.
It's basically your sport. So what's your story? Your dad, I mean your grandfather, Mario Andretti, he comes over from Italy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Montona.
And he comes out here as a child, as a teenager, right?
Yeah, to Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We've been there ever since.
And how the hell does he begin racing cars when he just comes over here as a teen? I think he raced in Italy, right?
No. He started over here. I think, I'm not sure what age, but I've heard that I've started younger than all of them, which is definitely a plus.
Did you start in karts?
Go-karts at 9 years old, yeah.
I want to get my kid started in racing when he's old enough, too, but not those go-karts. I'm getting him started in monster trucks.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
Strap the 7-year-old. You know, put some blocks on the pedals or something. It's going to be awesome.
The future.
Wait, Marco, did your grandfather take you racing when you were a little boy?
Well, I went to my dad's race and stuff like that, but, you know, unfortunately I wasn't around for a lot of... I was there for the end of my grandfather's career. Obviously not old enough to really realize what's going on. I wish I was there for all of it.
Yeah.
It's fun to look back on.
When you're young, it's weird because you just assume, well, everyone's grandpa must race in the Indy 500. You don't really have much perspective.
Normal for you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you went
out
and
beat... I figured everyone's grandpa must be an abusive alcoholic.
I figured everyone's grandpa must call them Butterball.
Oh, sorry, baby. You're not fat.
Thank you.
You're not fat.
But this year you knocked off the old man in head-to-head at Indy.
In the Indy, you passed him to take the lead. That must have been a weird feeling.
Bittersweet.
Best feeling.
Shake that, Pops.
For sure.
So he gets you started doing the karting, or you get you started doing the karting at what age?
9 years old.
9 years old.
10 years ago.
You take to it, and that seems to be the training ground for everybody, the go-karts, because it seems to give everyone the best feel for actual racing.
Yeah, they're not toys. I mean, they're definitely, you get a really good feel for it, you know, and they're starting kids younger than me now.
Is Danica Patrick going to be on your team? Is she joining your team? What's the story with that?
Yeah, she's announced as the third driver so far of our team. Tony Kanaan is announced back as well. So, you know, I think we'll definitely have a fun year.
The season just ended, right?
Right.
And when does the season begin?
They haven't announced the schedule, so I don't know. I mean, maybe around March or something like that. But
and what's, I remember a few months back, Gene Simmons was in here talking There was a band called Kiss in the 70s. You heard of them?
Heard of it, yeah.
Yeah. They wore scary monster makeup and big heels.
I know about that.
Oh, okay. Point is I don't know if you know. The point is he sponsored a team, did he not, in Indy this season? Or what was he talking about?
He helps promote the IndyCar series.
But he didn't have a particular team that he had... Oh, you don't sweat the details.
Listen, he's going to be working with Danica Patrick. I mean, you're a young 19-year-old. What do you think of her?
I'm definitely a Danica fan for sure, you know. She's married, but...
Oh, she is.
Yeah, she
does. Yeah, but he doesn't go on the road with her, does he?
Yeah, he does.
You guys are going from town to town.
He's a nice guy as well. No, he's a very nice guy. And now, like I said, I'm definitely a Danica fan. I think she's going to contribute to Andretti Green Racing and very good race car driver. So hopefully I'll be learning from her.
Is Indy seems relatively safe compared, I mean, for the kind of sport that it is. I didn't hear about too many fatalities in it. I know, didn't the Indy driver pass away in Canada a few years back?
We had one, actually, unfortunately, Paul Dana, at the first
very first race. That's right.
Yep.
That's
Your
right.
Your grandfather had a pretty nasty crash.
Yeah, very, very lucky. I mean, lucky to land wheels up. I mean, it was 50 feet in the air at 200 miles an hour. That's no fun.
I've been there, kid.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The thing that always amazes me about race car driving is the cars throughout the 50s didn't even have the roll bar. And you want to talk about technology, it's a piece of steel that's an inch higher than your head that comes back around so that when the car inevitably flips over, your head is not what's holding the car up. Nobody thought to do that. Now, I think the way racing used to be, and you can ask Grandpa about this because I don't know that I have the answer, and I don't know if you do either, but we can try to figure it out together. There used to be a part, like when hockey players didn't wear helmets, where that you were considered a puss if you had certain things or if you wanted certain things. Racing used to have that sort of bravado to it. These guys were daredevils.
They did similar speeds, and they wore, you know, half-face helmets with goggles, rubber helmets with goggles.
Yeah, and they didn't have one thing they didn't have is the fuel bladders. Now they have these fuel cell bladders. You can fire a rifle into them, and they won't leak or they won't explode or whatever. These guys sat on top of the fuel. It was just like a coffee can filled with... No, it was a casket filled with fuel. That's the way Grandpa used to roll. I mean, I'm sure half the guys your grandpa raced with died before they got out of their 30s.
You couldn't, like he used to tell me, you couldn't almost make friends, you know. It really was a very sad deal. So, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, ballsier, you could say, back then. But, you know, the speeds are still pretty crazy today.
Do they limit them? Do they do things to limit them, the speed, that is?
Yeah, I mean, they used to be faster. Like, we would lay data sometimes at certain tracks against, you know, maybe my dad's data or something, and they were a lot quicker back in his day.
That's lane data is when you download the stuff, the computer, all the stuff that comes out of the car.
G-forces and stuff.
Yeah, like we're now at the point with almost all racing sports where the technology sort of exceeded the safety part, and we have to make rules to slow things down, like putting a sandbag in a saddle.
Well, stupid question, but how fast would you go? Like, at the Indy 500 that you almost won, what was your top speed?
Probably about 240 on the back straight, because you're at max speed in an Indy car. That's Indy's a unique track because it's almost a rectangle, and you know, you're at top speed and you're heading into a 90 degree corner trying not to lift. It's pretty intimidating.
Once you get up to speed, are you doing any shifting on a course like that?
Normally on a big oval like that, we'll keep two or three top gears that are very close together. So
it's just a little, it's not the difference between dropping it from in a regular car from fourth to third or something like
right.
that. It's just very close
road courses
ratio.
We do. Road courses, we're up and down a lot.
Marco Andretti is here. Marco, how do you spend, IndyCar driver Marco Andretti, what do you do now that you're off, now that the season's over?
Sort of the same thing, just been
nailing groupies.
Yeah, you have a lot of female fans.
Yeah, but we like the ones that like me for me. I believe it or
wow.
not, I,
well,
I
know you for you.
Well, we're on the radio. But,
no, you don't really buy that crap.
No, you like the ones I do, like the ones that have no idea, you know.
Who you are and what you do?
Exactly.
Yeah, but that limits your pool to other 19-year-olds that aren't that hot.
That's true.
You want 26-year-olds that are piping hot who know who you are. That's. I like people that like me for me, too, but I can't find any of them, so I have to find people that like me for the radio personality.
Exactly.
That's what you need to do. Well, look, it's an interesting thing, because I think a lot. It's an interesting topic, because a lot of people say that. I want someone who likes me, and then there's a lot of movies and stories about the prince who goes out into his kingdom, but he puts on the clothes of the peasant and finds true love. The whole reason you do what you do is so you can attract the upper echelon chicks.
That's the only reason I race. Yeah.
Yes, that's my point. This is why we all get out of bed in the morning. That's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. And you shouldn't like them for them either.
Oh, boy.
There you go. How do you like that?
Are you taking notes?
Turnabout fair play. You explain to them you don't like them for them. All right, Marco. So are you single?
Yes.
You are?
You can announce that on the radio.
Okay. And you're just out having a good time like any other 19-year-old.
Yep.
But you date, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been traveling a lot. I sort of, when things calm down with the circuit and stuff, I just like to do nothing, you know? It's so crazy. We see it all on the road anyway, so we just sort of like to lay low. But yeah. I do get bored after a day of doing nothing.
Is the home base in Pennsylvania?
That's Dad's house. I own a condo downtown Indianapolis, which is convenient because the race team is there and everything.
Mm-hmm. So you're how close to the track are you, is the condo?
Downtown is 10, 15 minutes.
So you can actually drive the race car back and forth?
Yeah, that's what I do. I just pull it in my garage.
Yeah, you can't take them on the freeway, but if you want to just stay to the surface streets, no problemo. You got to go on a quick beer run or something like that with your fake ID. All right, Marco Andretti, much luck to you in the upcoming season. We'll be watching.
Thank you very much.
Do come back and pay us a visit. And, because you guys will come out here and go to, like, Fontana or something like that at some point. One of your stops out here at the California Speedway, right?
Yeah, I won the only California race this year at Sonoma, but, they canceled Fontana. We don't do it anymore.
Oh, they're not doing it this year. Right. So is Sonoma the closest you'll get to L.A., for instance?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. And you won last year at Sonoma.
It was the second last race.
Nice. Marco Andretti, everyone. You can go to marcoandretti.com if you want to find out more about the lap. I think the news and sports is coming up, T.
Yes. Well, we spoke earlier about Willie Nelson getting pulled over and cited for pot possession, but there's a lot more to the story. Lessons to be learned. Also, some insider information on why Tara Reid may have blown us off, not once, but twice. She may have gone in for surgery. I'll have news on that and more.
We'll be right back with that after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Dear Diary, today I passed the ace man in the hallway. He grunted at me and nodded, but I'm still not sure if he likes me, or if he still thinks of us as just friends. Oh, hey, what up, peeps? I didn't see you there. I was just making some notes for the show. Hey, we got a hell of a show for you today. From Jackass 2 and Wild Boy, Shark Hunter, Manny Puig. We also got What Can't Adam Complain About? Looks like the boobless streak continues. August, get him in office.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, Manny Puig is a guy from, I think he's a Brazilian guy. He's in one of those countries where he gets to wear the banana hammock, but he's grandfathered in.
Right.
If I tried to sport the banana hammock, I'd be laughed right off the beach. But if you're from a country, the banana hammock or the Speedo is like what the peyote is to the American Indians. If I wanted to drop some peyote and walk around Southern California, I'd be arrested. But if you're from the Hichawa tribe and it's part of your ritual, you get to do that. It's that way with Speedos. Any guy we know sports the Speedos, he's out. But if you know a guy from France or from Brazil and he sports the Speedos, that's the whole thing. That's the thing. If you had four or five buddies and you were going to the beach and three of them were from your hometown of North Hollywood, one guy, Marco, he's from Brazil. Not our last guest.
I think our guy's from Cuba, Manny Puig.
Yeah, wherever he's from, he's grandfathered in with the Speedo and the banana hammock. He can wear whatever he wants.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah,
in his country, they wear it.
Wisp of yarn up his crack and a nicotine patch over his joint. And I'd be, hey, get back off, man. Don't you ride him. Give him some room. He gets to do what he wants. He's from Cuba. All right, so anyway, he jumps on the back. He puts the banana hammock on, and then he jumps on the back of hammerhead sharks, and they drag him around the ocean, and he
And he's a man of like 50, right? 60?
I don't think he's that old.
It's hard to tell.
You tell him he's 60.
Don't you hate that guy?
Yeah. You tell him he's fat. I'm not going to do
Bet you don't make that mistake twice.
Guy starts laughing at his own joke halfway into it. I love that blowhard. He's telling the story. And I was, cop, so I look up and I say to the cop, I wish you did. Can't even hear the end of the goddamn story because he's busting himself up at a story. But it's funny. He stole the story 200 times and still cracks him up. He can't make it through. Where were we? That's right. Teresa Strasser with her news.
Willie Nelson and four others were issued misdemeanor citations for possession of narcotic mushrooms and marijuana. And what happened was it was a routine commercial vehicle stop. The trooper opened the door and Trooper.
There you go.
He opened the door and as you can imagine, strong odor of marijuana. Turns out there was one and a half pounds of marijuana. There was a little bit of mushrooms, but here's the thing. Now, with 1.5 pounds of marijuana, you'd think they would have all been arrested and charged with felony or whoever had that. But what they did was the entire group, he and his four buddies, all copped to holding. And because of that, they were each charged with a misdemeanor, cited, and they were sent on their way.
Well, I don't understand how that works. They found 1.5 pounds of weed?
Yeah, and they said, whose is it? And they all five said, it's all of ours. And so if
they
you
broke it up five
right,
ways?
Exactly.
Mm.
Plus,
that was just it. Yeah.
It's also reported that the local jail was packed.
There you go.
Might have been easier to just send them on their way.
Packed. The local jail was packed with fudge.
I don't know how you can even get that out.
Sorry, crack myself up.
Okay.
Wait, let me say this.
Yes, do.
Couple things. First off, who cares? The guy is a country singer with a ponytail who goes on the road. He's not driving the bus. I was talking to someone a few days back, and I said, you know, my mom was a hippie, and I remember this talk from the early 70s about legalizing the weed. You know, the whole Summer Love in 69 and Haight Ashbury and all that crap. If you would have pulled one of those hippies aside and said, look, the year's 1969. How long before marijuana is legalized? They would have said, oh, days, maybe weeks from now. Perhaps by Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. What if I said 1980? Oh, for sure by then. Now, if you would have asked one of those hippies in 69, when's it going to be legalized? And he said it'll be 2006 and it still won't be legalized. They'll be like, first off, we'll be flying around in hovercrafts and it won't wearing Mylar suits, tinfoil suits, and walking through aperture doors. And this will not eating our food out of small pills that are just labeled steak, potatoes, and things like that. And this will not be legalized? No, it will not. They would have sharpened their bong and fallen on it and killed themselves right then and there on the spot. They couldn't have imagined. Who cares about this? When are we going to stop? And here's the other thing, too. I've been on Willie Nelson's bus. You cannot open that door without getting a contact high. Yes, I've toured the great Willie's bus. He came on Loveline a few years back, and I just went up in his bus. I don't know if we smoked pot or what the hell we did. Number two, I love mushrooms. I love an old guy that does mushrooms. I haven't done mushrooms in a long time, but it's just because I don't have the balls to do it anymore. It's too freaky. It's cool when you're 19 or 20 and you have nothing to think about. When you have a mortgage and kids and a marriage and stuff and, you know, bills to pay and stuff, it will freak your ass out. If I got high on mushrooms and passed one of my billboards, my head would explode. It would not be like Scanners. Would not want to do that. So I can't do it anymore. I'll freak out. a guy in his 70s or 60s that's doing it, tip of the hat to you. And let me say this, too. We have this thing about intent to distribute. If you're caught with over a certain amount, then that's intent to distribute. I would say that should be based on your income. If you're living in a crappy apartment and you have three kids and we find 2 pounds of weed on you, that's intent to distribute. If you're selling millions of records a year and making thousands of dollars touring the country and you got a pound of weed on you, that's just because you want a pound of weed.
Yes, I don't think he intended to distribute.
No, Willie goes out on the road in that bus of his. It's really more of a rolling bong. than it is a tour bus. He's going to be gone for 8 months. He's got to bring his stash.
Now, you harken back to 69. Ooh. I'm going to harken back to 1986. That is the year when
like us to get back to 69, baby.
I wasn't alive yet.
Harken back.
Okay, that was the year Run
DMC. Stuff. I got that part when people announce their stuff is good. That's good, funny. It's good stuff.
You can use that.
You use it. You want to use the 69?
Wait, I can take that? Mm. Or no, mm-hmm. Dave gets it.
It's yours. Split it up. You take okay. The six, you take the nine.
Sounds fair. All right. Run DMC released a song called It's Tricky, mm-hmm. which you may remember. Now, it samples, this is the song, mm-hmm. it samples the Knack song, My Sharona.
Now, at a certain point, yeah, there's a just a little part. Yeah.
Now, 20 years after It's Tricky came out, two members of the Knack who wrote My Sharona are suing Run DMC for copyright infringement. They want damages, legal fees, an injunction barring the sale of the song. They want a percentage of the profits from the song.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they suing 20 years later? They claim they never heard It's Tricky until last year. Here's My Sharona. You can sort of hear the similarities.
Yeah, it definitely has the thing underneath it. I'm always amazed. Now, I would assume they're lying. But I'm assuming that nobody, not that they don't hear it, but that people don't bring it to their attention. It's like we always talk about people that have a name that's a popular song. And they never... I'll talk to them, and they'll never know the song.
Right.
Like, the Beach Boys have a popular song called Wendy. You're Wendy. You heard of Wendy? No, never heard the song. Really? I'm the first person. Didn't your dad sing you this song when you were young? No, never heard it.
And then
they're angry at me for knowing more about their name than them.
It is bizarre.
Bitch.
Okay. Tara Reid. Okay,
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's discuss. Now, Willie Nelson was on our show for as part of our Outbook August. Mm-hmm. I believe it was that week. Tara Reid no-showed us twice. Now, she was booked to be here on September 6th, mm-hmm. and again on September 11th, she was a no-show for both. Now, suddenly I read in In Touch Weekly that she reportedly went in to replace her breast implants and fix up some bad stomach lipo she had. Mm-hmm. The date she went in for surgery, reportedly September 7th. So her master plan, if I'm getting in Tara Reid's brain, me and all the gin that's there, is either she was going to come in the day before the breast surgery. You know, I have a day before. I'll come in, do Adam Carolla show. Or she planned to recover for 5 days and come in on the 11th. Either way, she never showed up.
Wow.
Who knows if we'll ever see her.
Was that why Willie didn't come in? Or is that why it was just a phoner with him?
He was having lipo fixed on his stomach. Okay. Now... there are only so many De Niro's and Meryl Streep's for the show Inside the Actor's Studio. At some point, Terry Hatcher was bound to end up there.
I noticed that and was wondering if she was going to reflect back on her days from Lois and Clark. Or
would you like to hear a little bit?
Yeah, I want to hear about her doing a Tide commercial in 1978 and being bitten by the acting bug.
Well, here she talks a little bit about the craft of acting.
The craft.
The craft with James Lipton.
Right, show us your boobs, bitch.
Does ABC Standards and Practices ever raise any objections to the show's content?
All I know is that the whole first season, thousands of dollars were spent digitally erasing my nipples.
Oh, really?
Really? Are they... still erased? Or?
I don't know. I need to watch. In real life, they are not erased.
She's another one of these nut jobs who gets interviewed from red carpets and explains from the red carpets, dressed to the nines, that her idea of a perfect night is staying home, eating popcorn, and watching TV with her friends. You understand we didn't bust into your bedroom and conduct this interview while you're in your nightie. You're on the red carpet giving this interview, and it's not even your show. That's all I'm saying. Just admit you're all media whores and give it up. Don't go out
a liar.
Don't go to every red carpet and then say your ideal night is staying home and eating popcorn with the girls.
Well, lastly, on The Family Guy, they did an episode about radio. Now they've got a character, Brian, who reluctantly brings Stewie on as the co-host of his radio show. Now, of course, our sound effects guy is also named Brian. And in this episode, the radio station was 97.1, same as ours here in L.A. Here's a little snippet of the radio show on The Family Guy.
Hey, what's up from the station that reaches the beaches? You're listening to Dingo and the Baby.
Dingo and the Baby.
Oh, baby.
What the hell are you doing? What the hell does that have to do with anything? They're just wacky sounds, you know, to liven things up.
D-I-N-G-O.
Dingo!
And the
baby!
sexy girlfriend.
That's an attack, Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, gay.
I would assume it was a coincidence, but I did speak to Seth MacFarlane last week when I did The Voice of Death, and he explains that he hates the show. He hates Brian. He thinks it's overproduced, and he uses way too many sound effects.
Really? He said that to you?
Right to my face.
Directly.
Yeah.
Brian.
It was an attack.
I wasn't even the sound effects guy last time he was in here.
All right. He listens. He works. You know, the Family Guy's across the street. Whenever I do voices on the Family Guy, I just walk across the street and do it. And for those of you who are listening from outside of Hollywood, that's the way it is. Burt Reynolds lives across the street from my house.
Jimmy Kimmel down the street.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, all right. Yeah. It is that way. Yeah. Take that, life irony.
Okay, Brian, are you ready with one of your wacky sound effects? I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one. Do it, Dave.
A game for the ages last night in Chavez Ravine, the home of your Los Angeles Dodgers, unless you're not a Dodgers fan. Dodgers, half game back of the Padres going into the game. Only a dozen games left on the slate. The NL West flag slipping away. Bums down 9-5, bottom of the ninth. All hope seemed lost. Then Jeff Kent hit a home run. Then J.D. Drew hit one. Russell Martin hit one. Steve Garvey hit one. Some
Garvey.
Guy out of the stands hit one.
Ron Say.
Then it goes to the 10th inning.
Mm-hmm.
The Padres take a one-run lead. Bottom of the 10th. Nomar Garciaparra steps to the plate, hobbling, not unlike Kirk Gibson.
I know you don't like.
Past.
I don't know you don't like him because of his association with the Red Sox, but that is a great name for you.
Nomar
Garciaparra, the whole thing is great for you.
Nomar steps into the box, down a run, man on base. Here's the call.
Here's a 3-1 from Cianis. Fly ball, left field, way back there. He has done it! He has done it! Nomar with a walk-off home run!
I forgot to tell you, the Dodgers are in first place.
Those were my colleagues, Chaz Steiner and Vin Scully. Now, as I say, about a dozen games left to go. Dodgers now up a half game in the division race. One and a half up in the wild card race are the Padres. Will they both make the playoffs? This reporter says, Now, Pete Rose, legendary baseballer, signed some baseballs last year to some chums. Mm-hmm. And he signed it, you know, with his autograph, and then I'm sorry for betting on baseball. Now, a memorabilia guy's gotten his hands on these baseballs and is selling them. He says he never wanted them to get out, but people don't like the fact that Pete, the renowned gambler, put I'm sorry on the baseball. But you know what? Let's make lemons out of lemonade. This is what the Pope should do for the Muslims.
Right.
Sign some baseballs. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Also, his barber. Pete's barber is signing scissors to apologize for Pete's hair. That's it.
Dave Damashek's number one.
Hold on a second.
What?
Steelers.
Hold on. Let's move along.
Whoa. Steelers played last night.
They did play a football game last night.
Yeah.
How did that go?
Wow. Yeah, they played on Monday night.
Wow.
Normally, they start off the sports
really
with that
game.
Score.
Monday night football.
It slipped my mind. It's this week
two. Slipped
your mind. Week two of the season.
You were chomping at 3 weeks ago, you couldn't stop talking about their, you know, showing up with the Jaguars on Monday night.
Listen, the Jags and their pathetic teal blue fans.
But what
nice
happened? I didn't watch the game. What was the score?
Well, the Steelers didn't score. It was 9-0, and it was bad. But the bright thing, the bright news is that Big Ben Roethlisberger did get back onto the field. You know, he had the appendicitis, and he had the head injury in the summertime. As you can hear from his press conference after the game, all is right with him.
Did you feel like you were able to find your receivers whenever you wanted to tonight?
I like raisins. Yay, raisins!
She's fine.
The Pittsburgh Penguin speaks again.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, but don't worry. When we come back, what can't Adam complain about? You call in. Impress me. Go ahead. Outdo yourself. Oh, it's easy to go with the big jugs and the beer and all the standard stuff, but dig deep. See if you can really throw me this time. What can't Adam complain about? 866-901-ADAM. We'll play a round of that after this.
It's time to play a Guess the Movie Quote with the Adam Carolla Show's movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Which famous movie is this scene from?
Cray for luck and better war is God.
The answer when we return with more of the Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to Guess the Movie Quote. Did you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Cray for luck and better war is God.
If you said Wall Street.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You're correct. Thanks for playing. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we're going to play What Can't Adam Complain About? But first, Sarah, our older caller.
Adam's on the phone.
That's her.
She's on the phone. Her daughter does the drugs. She doesn't do drugs,
she does
just
some
booze and prescription drugs.
That's right.
And as we've learned from living in our culture long enough, alcohol, prescription drugs are not drugs.
Right. They're legal.
They're alcohol and prescription drugs.
I thought her daughter says she does do it. Don't they tell each other?
Yeah, the daughter thinks Sarah does meth.
Sarah?
Well, I could not possibly do this if she takes them.
Right.
Right.
As soon as I get them.
I understand. Oh. I understand. You ought to hook up with Willie Nelson because you people, you're in your early 70s. You both share love of drugs in the open road. Listen, if you and Willie Nelson could get on a couple of hogs and drive from the Santa Monica Pier to New York City and I could follow you with a video crew, this would be the greatest motion picture ever made.
Oh, you're cheering Sarah up.
Oh, sweetheart, I'm dying. They won't even do the surgery because they said my heart's too bad.
Oh, wait a minute, Tom. Hold on a second. Sarah, you were supposed to get some back surgery or something?
Yeah.
And they're not going to do it because your heart's too bad?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's sort of like you got... It's sort of like saying...
I
got into a car accident. My car needs some body work. And you pull into the body shop and he says, we're not going to fix the fender. The car's totaled. It's not worth it.
The engine is bad, right?
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
So what is wrong with your heart?
Well, I did have a heart attack back in 95, for God's sake.
Come on, Tom, please.
I don't worry, but,
it's not funny.
I don't have angina. I don't have any symptoms, but the heart specialist, they sent me to.
Now, wait a second. Did the specialist tell you to get off drugs, that he wasn't going to do any procedures on you while you're strung out on medication?
He didn't give me more drugs.
Ah, it's my kind of doctor. So did he give you? Did he tell you?
It's very cooperative that way.
Did he say? How old are you, Sarah?
I'm almost 73.
Almost 73.
Yeah, and it's time.
Time.
I was actually hoping I would die on the table, but.
That is funny.
On the operating room table or dining room?
Now they refuse to give me that.
Mm.
So,
Sarah, why so sad?
The alternative to surgery is paralysis.
Whoa, wait, hold on, Tom.
Who is that laughing like a man?
It's Tom Likas. He has no decorum at all. Doesn't think there's room for old people.
Oh, God, I'd like to, you know what? I'm going to find out what kind of car he drives, and I'm going to walk out in front of it.
That'll show him. When he's using his hose to get you off his bumper, that'll show him.
Of his Lexus?
Yes. I think it's a 430. Hey, Sarah.
Oh, really?
I know you're a Lexus gal yourself. But here's my point. I have no idea. Color spaghetti sauce. Here's the thing, Sarah. I would like you to live because we don't have that many listeners.
I'm sorry, I don't have that choice anymore.
Well, our listenership will go down by 30% if you keel over.
Well, hold on. How serious did the doctor say your heart problem is, Sarah?
Too serious to survive the surgery.
They often won't do serious surgery on older people.
I'll tell him to stop. Brian, stop.
Shut up.
So how long do you have to live then?
Well, probably a few months.
A few months?
Yeah.
Now, did they say that to you?
Yeah, and that I will be paralyzed. It's already starting.
Oh, that is so sad. And what about your daughter?
No, it's not. Well, yeah, it's sad that I'll be paralyzed if they won't do the surgery and let me die a dignified death on the table.
How's your daughter doing?
I have no idea. She called finally the other night, and I don't have one idea what she said. She said a sentence and a half, and I think that she said, "Don't call me anymore."
So she's still getting high.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Sarah and her daughter
a different domicile.
We spoke to Sarah and her daughter some months back. We tried to get them some help, but they walked out of rehab.
No, I was pretty much kicked out. She wouldn't stay without me.
Either way, we made an attempt at reaching out to you guys to get sober.
Yes, you did. You were so kind, and aww, I wish it had worked. I even prayed for her.
What are you doing now? Are you still drinking? Are you still taking prescription drugs?
I actually didn't take any prescription drugs even for a whole month, not even the heart or breathing business.
But are you drinking now? You're drunk now, aren't you?
No, sir, I am not.
When did you have your last drink?
A month and a half ago.
And you're not on any medication right now?
Yeah, I had to go back because I couldn't breathe. I had to take the breathing stuff.
Well, you sound altered to some degree.
I am altered. I am heartbroken. I have her cat here. And
you have her cat.
I know I have to leave that cat because I'm dying. And the cat's only 4 years old to my 73. And
wait, Sarah, remember when you're talking about your cat Elizabeth, right?
Yes.
Well, remember when Bill, our board op, took care of your cat when you went to rehab?
Yes.
What if you knew that he would take care of your cat if anything happened to you? He's offering, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sir, I'll take care of your cat again. Elizabeth?
Do you mind if the cat has two dads?
No.
There's a lot of, I wouldn't be cool if my dog Molly moved into a gay household,
you would,
but that's
too.
Me. Look, I'm old-fashioned. I'm sorry. My dog will not live with
Sarah
the gays.
Sarah's open-minded. You don't mind, right?
No.
I don't worry about the dog, sexually with the gays. I just the ribbing the dog is going to take at the dog park from the other dogs with the mommies and the daddies instead of the two daddies. I don't want that for my dog. I don't want that for any dog.
So do you feel better now that you know Elizabeth will be taken care of?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. It's in the name horror.
And let me say this about the gays. One argument for the gays in raising your pet is they don't have kids of their own, so all that energy goes into the pet. They'll be feeding. It'll be like a fancy feast commercial.
Well, when Bill had Elizabeth for a few days, he took her to the vet. She had a few infections. He cleared them up. Am I right?
Ate out of a crystal goblet.
Oh, yeah. Well, the cat cleaned my house, too.
What?
It cleaned my house. I locked it in a room. I came back to the room and it was completely clean.
Oh, yes. That's the gay cat will eventually reorganize the furniture, redecorate. I get you.
Hung some track lighting.
Well, it was a meth cat.
She didn't do that for me.
Oh, the meth cat. That's right.
She does not make a mess.
All right. So listen.
Not
Sarah,
mess. Meth.
Sarah, gay Bill will take care of your cat if anything happens to you.
When did he become gay?
Yesterday.
It's hard to tell if it was in the womb or just after birth. Either way, it's been a while.
Data's
still a little fuzzy on that.
Yeah, I think they're the best fathers there are.
You're okay? Is Sarah, is your cat Elizabeth okay living an alternative lifestyle?
I'm sure she is.
All right. Well, at least we can do that for you. Now, here's the thing. Do you want to give the cat to build a gay board op before anything tragically happens to you, or do you want to just wait and he'll come get it?
It's the only pussy he'll let in the house.
Oh, Sarah loved it.
Ah, Sarah. Listen, you need to come down and see us in person.
It's possible because I'm going to have to go to an assisted living or a hospice.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't quite decide.
And do you believe in heaven? Did we talk about that before?
Do I believe in heaven?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a dream the other night, and my mother, who was very cruel to me, but that's understandable. She had breast cancer. She was dying. Mm. And she died when I was 6 or 7. And she was very cruel to me. She hurt me a lot. I mean, physically. Mm.
Do you think she's in heaven? You're going to be reunited with her?
Well, I don't know. I had a dream, and she was grinning like crazy on one side of my bed, and my sister-in-law Gladys was grinning on the other, and they were dressed in nurses' uniforms. So I don't know.
Slow down.
Is that a harbinger girl of hell? Hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that answer, Sarah. I was going to ask a third time, but I'm just going to keep moving.
We've all inched a little closer to death.
Sarah, yes. Please come see us in the studio. I hope your daughter's doing better.
I could. If I could make it to the bathroom without crawling.
Well, you can go to the bathroom in the studio. Frosty Hiding Frank studio after we're off the air.
Are you having trouble with that, Sarah?
Yeah. Oh, what?
Getting to the bathroom?
Yeah, I'm having trouble walking. I'm having trouble breathing.
Would you, Sarah, can I ask you this? Would you kill yourself if you could? I mean, if you had a pill you could take?
If it was not painful.
Yeah, I believe there's a fair amount of people that would do this. My grandmother tells me, she's 93, I think now. She says she has some pills stashed, and everything's ever get too bad, she's taking them.
Yeah, maybe we should get these two gals together.
Yeah, we should do it together and all cozy like.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sarah still enjoys her life. She enjoys the Adam Carolla show every morning.
Yes, I do.
If you killed yourself, you wouldn't have me making fun of you,
right?
Every morning, would you?
Oh, and I enjoy it so much. You know what I really love? When you do those reenactments.
Mm. Those aren't good.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you, Sarah, we're going to do What Can't Adam Complain About, because we were going to do it 10 minutes ago or a half hour ago, and we never got to it. But I'm going to dedicate this What Can't Adam Complain About to you, and then later on we'll do one of our reenactments as well, and that's going to be for you, too.
Hey, what can you complain about people dying and having less of us on the earth?
You want to start with that?
It's good, yeah.
Get rolling with that
one?
Yeah,
all right, I'll do that for you, Sarah.
All right. Out the first pitch.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Gays raising your cat, people dying. What is the topic? Meth addiction?
I think she said fewer people on Earth because of dying, right?
Yeah. Well, there it is.
Close
there
enough.
There you go.
Done.
Done.
More room in the diamond lane for the ace man is exotic sports cars. All right, let's push forward here. Let's speak to John. John, what can I complain about?
How can the ace man possibly complain about In-N-Out Burger?
Ooh, tough. I love In-N-Out Burger, and the fact that it's $1.35 still is absolutely amazing, especially when you think about minimum wage being $8-$9 an hour now. But let me say this. I feel like there's a club over there that I'm not a part of, and I can't stand it. Every time I talk to a friend and they go, hey, man, I just went to In-N-Out. I got my burger animal style. Animal style? What's it? Oh, you got to say. Well, I don't see anything on the menu that says that. No, no, no. You say animal style. The guy comes in, three patties, guacamole, and he finishes you off with a handy. Really? Really? Yeah, I just got one. So I've been doing it for years that way. I'm never cool enough to figure out that. I will go in there and order every once in a while and experiment. I'll just drive through the drive-thru and the chicken will be like, hey, welcome in now. Can I help you? And I'll be like, yeah, Fred Grandy. Excuse me? Fred Grandy style? Hello? Just get your goddamn burger. And then I'm humiliated. I just drive around. I've been throwing out cactus. I throw out many different... I'll say something new every time, but still nothing. Same old burger. But this, though, actually, I get a snot rocket added to my double-double. That's what I get. But I do feel like there's some club over there that I'm not in on. One day I'm going to get all the lingo and figure it out. But a good
burger.
You're
not in the club, but Gopher is, apparently.
Nonetheless. Also, weird religious franchise. They have that little religious fish at the bottom of everything. I don't like my religion mixed with my fast food. Thank you very much. Now, what's next? Let's see. Let's talk about line 7. Sam?
Good morning, Adam. How you doing, boss?
What's happening?
Not much, Chief. You can't complain about your family, dude.
Oh, maybe not the one I just hatched the other day, but the old family. I posed this question to my wife as I was driving home from the world's closest family, which is the Kimmel family. Now, here's how life works. Life works this way. If you hung around the meth head family, you would go home and kiss the feet of your loser family. But I don't hang around the meth head family. I hang around the Kimmel family, in which case I now look at my family with disdain because they are an amazing people. First off, Dad and Mom and Sis fly out from Arizona. If Jimmy has a solid BM, they will fly out Southwest and all marvel at the BM. Tatum's mom will take a bedazzler to it and then get right back on a Southwest flight and go back to Arizona. That's how they roll. They come out for everyone's birthday. Last Saturday, I was at a roller boogie party for Jimmy's cousin Ann. And, of course, the entire family flew out from all over the country because it's somebody's 40th birthday. Well, Jimmy's dad said, Adam, I listen in Arizona. I listen every day. I love the show. He's a huge fan of this show. Hey, hi, Mr. Kimmel, if you're listening. Also, Mom, Joan, same thing. Oh, love it. Then the sister comes up to me and goes, I never miss it. Starts talking about Dave's sports. Starts talking about how her kid says, do it, Dave, and all that kind of stuff. And then I get in the car and I start driving home with my wife. And I say, wow, man, that's amazing. The Kimmel family, they're over there in Arizona. They never miss a show. They're fanatics about the show. And then I said to my wife, because I can't enjoy things too long, I said, If you took Jimmy's mom, Jimmy's dad, and Jimmy's sister combined listening hours, time spent listening per week, and contrasted against my dad, my mom, and my sister, how do you think that'd shake out? She said, 10-1. And then she started laughing and went, no, I mean, it's probably more than 100-1. I think the Kimmel family probably has 100 minutes listening to this show for every 10 or 15 seconds that my combined family has. And I'm being generous. Dave, what do you think? Be honest.
Absolutely. Yeah, the reflected glory that you are associated with Jimmy Kimmel makes them listen for 4 hours a day. Absolutely, yes.
Yes. I would say, well, first off,
your family may or may not know that you have a radio show.
I would say since my family is essentially zero, it's hard to do this comparison. They would have to register. It's like in baseball, you have to get to the plate at least a handful of times in order to know, go into the record books for most walks or at bats or whatever. So I don't know what it is, but it's probably 500 or 600 minutes for every 10 or 15 seconds. But yes, that's my family, but Kimmel's family.
But it sounds like they're such a warm and loving family that they even take you in as a friend of Jimmy.
They are an amazing group. The only thing they did was enable Kimmel. That's the only mark on the record. They are a wonderful, wonderful group. Oscar?
Yeah, Adam.
What's up?
Yeah, Adam, this is a two-part question, actually. It's actually a request. Well, the first part is that you can't complain because Sarah, you know, the elderly lady that, you know, we are all starting to love now, isn't in your family. And second, I'd like to know if I could serve her last wish by giving her a night of a young stud.
I think she said, I'm sorry, but I think she said her last wish was to die on the table.
Mm. Well, how about on the bed?
We could do it on our kitchen table.
Oh, so listen, I can't condone that, but if you film it, I would definitely watch.
It's a generous offer.
Faces of death.
All right, let's keep pushing along here. Josh, what can I complain about?
Adam, you cannot complain about the P-51D Mustang.
Mm, that is one of the greatest warbirds to ever come out of WW2. Amazing aircraft. 500 miles an hour this plane flew, and it was a prop airplane. V-12 Allison engine, later given away to a supercharged Rolls-Royce Merlin engine, huge V-12 roaring. What a piece of machinery. This is why the terrorists hate us. The problem is Tom Cruise has one, and now it's ruined. I got to say, Tom Cruise having that P-51 Mustang, I saw him doing 2020 or 48 hours in one of those news programs where he was pleading his case for sanity. About 4 months ago, he was flying his vintage P-51 Mustang. Him being in the cockpit of that Mustang is akin to Paris Hilton going around town in that Cosworth or the...
The McKinley? Was
no,
it?
No, it's No, no, she's driving the McLaren,
right.
Mercedes. Yes, ruined. Now ruined for me. The fact that their ass has graced that seat is now ruined for me. The Top Gun, Tom, is behind the stick, handling the yoke.
Especially since he painted it pink.
As it were.
Aww. Does that ruin Kate for you, too?
Yeah, I'll tell you what would be an awesome scenario, though. The greatest news story ever. What if Tom Cruise took that P-51 Stang, he loaded it up because it's got 50 caliber machine guns. I think it has two or three on each wing, either six or four, but loaded that baby up, went haywire, had some booze, and just started flying through L.A., strafing producers' houses. Just going right down Sunset Boulevard, scraping the treetops and opening up on everybody and anybody. Trendy bistros, his agent's office, his publicist's office, just right down Wilshire Boulevard, 30 feet above the ground, just laying into all the glass high-rises and everything. What an awesome way to go. Tom, if you're listening, fuel up the Stang.
Iron Eagle 5.
L. Ron
what a
Hubbard.
Story.
Yeah, because you look, ultimately, this is how we're gonna remember you as an actor who went a little bit nutty, who crapped out some kids and rides a mountain bike. I mean, what kind of legacy is that? You would be at the tip of everyone's tongue for the next 500 years if you did this. There would be footage of it. It would take a while for them to scramble the Apache helicopters or do whatever they could do. There's nothing. Now, the cops on the ground, they have sidearms, maybe a couple of rifles. They're not going to catch up to you. What would you do about that? I mean, there's Air Force bases around, but then what happens? The F-16s just fly into the city with you and start unleashing sidewinders?
You buy a couple of minutes. You just radio down. You just say, no, we're shooting a movie.
Shooting the latest
action picture.
Wow.
That's buys you precious
Tom
minutes.
Cruise loaded for bear, P-51 Mustang, just strafing cop cars and Hollywood actors as they go up and right through Beverly Hills, right down Rodeo, right up Wilshire, then down Sunset, barrel rolls in the sky, and then back for another strafing. Wow.
You can't complain about that.
No, I cannot complain about that. No, I cannot. And that's how you play.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
That was a more emotional. That was a more touching.
I
went to a place.
Yeah. I don't know if you can come back.
I'm going to go take a look in the mirror and see if I like what I see, but I don't think I'm going to like what I see.
Tom Cruise committing mass murder from the skies.
With his warplane.
I'll tell you one publicity. They say there's no bad publicity. Oh, yeah. People be talking about you. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Ruskin announced very cryptically... Before the show, that we had a possible surprise guest.
Courtesy of Mike August, Power Booker.
And I said, who? And he said, oh, it'll be a surprise, but I don't want to jinx it. So he didn't say anything, and now he thinks that person will be calling in the next break.
We're hoping.
Okay, big name?
Pretty good name.
Pretty good name.
Bigger than Sarah the meth addict?
Will we play it like guess like 20 questions, or will they just announce who they are?
Kyle is raising his thumb in victory. He's right, saying it's a pretty good name, or that's the one he used on Lindsay when he brought her back to the motel. And what, is that what the thumb is? I don't know what it signifies. Yes?
She never said no.
She never said no. All right. Yes, if you raise your thumb, it's a good thing. If you sniff your thumb, it's a totally different thing. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with our surprise guest after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. All this month on The Adam Carolla Show, you can win $10,000, and all you got to do is outbook August in September.
Well, it's put up or shut up time, Mike August.
That's right, Mike August, our talent booker, has been coming in a little below the mark. So Adam's going to give $10,000 to whoever books the best guest in September.
That person shall be me.
Outbook August in September.
It's 10 grand of my money.
A listener got Willie Nelson.
Wow, Willie.
Hello there.
August didn't get Don King. Jerron the intern got Tony Hawk. August got stood up by Tara Reid.
It's not looking good.
The contest is open to everyone, even Mike August.
I have big plans for September. You'll see.
All right.
You'll all see.
Outbook August in September.
Mike August can't even book himself into the studio.
Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, I love all those pre-AIDS songs. I'm making it. Hey, baby, you want to make it? What, you got some roller skates? I got tight jeans that lace up in the front and in the back. Let's get it on.
Why not?
I'm glad that it's an ID, though, it seems. Excuse me.
Yeah, I'm full.
That's what free love leads to.
That's right.
I'm pleased, though, as a society that we seem to have transcended saying making love.
Yeah.
It makes me uncomfortable movie, when people say that.
Yeah, every Ugh. Movie seemed like that was the only way they could make reference to doing
make
it.
Make love.
Plowing her like a field.
That's better. More romantic.
Yes.
I just miss the tube tops and the roller skates and the glitter. Every guy was high. Every woman dressed as a prostitute. Women essentially, if you think about the fashions of the 70s, you can talk about designer this or that, but they just dressed like they were prostitutes. They teased their hair.
Hot
they
pants.
Wore way too much makeup, and they wore the tight, low-riding jeans and the hot pants and the whatever. It was just, it's how prostitutes dress, and then everyone just got laid, and then AIDS came in. Mm. Where were we? So, surprise guest.
Yes, apparently they had to pull over to go to McDonald's, was the last I heard, so they couldn't get on the phone. August must be McPanicking.
Yeah. I do not know who this surprise guest is. And here's the thing about this show that I hope you know. When I say I don't know, I don't know. And Teresa doesn't know.
Nope.
And Dave doesn't know either. Kyle says it's a good guest. Phone screener Kyle. So does Brusket. And we hopefully will be hearing from this person very shortly. But because Sarah has her dying request of us doing a reenactment, we should do a reenactment for Sarah. I predict that if we do embark on the reenactment, the surprise guest will chime in about halfway.
Will that be
Wait a minute. What's up, Fresca? Newsflash.
We got Lennox Lewis on the line.
Lennox Lewis.
Way to draw out the surprise, Fresca.
Nice job, Fresca.
Well done.
Lennox.
But he did it with much flair.
Yeah, who wrecked the surprise? I really wanted to come in strong and say, I'm the best, nobody tests, I lay them all to rest, and so on and so forth.
You could have done it in person. Well, if you come in and see us in person, you can punch the guy who ruined the surprise.
Okay, done.
Lennox, I got to tell you this. First off, I have a Christmas card from Jimmy Kimmel's cousin Sal.
Oh, no.
You remember him, short and white. A little heavy around the hips.
Yeah, we had to duke it out on the show.
Yes, he gave me a Christmas card with you and him, and his shirt is off, and he's squared up with you, but 2 feet shorter than you, and 20 shades lighter than you, and it cracks me up. It's still up in my garage. Lennox Lewis, I am a boxing fan, and because I'm a boxing fan, I'm obviously a Lennox Lewis fan. Thanks for being on the show.
Great. Good to know.
What's up, Lennox? You're now 38 and change.
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. And still in good shape, although I eat at McDonald's much longer, you're not going to be. But in good fighting shape, there's nothing going on really in the heavyweight division. How many times a week does your phone ring and have somebody offer you a bunch of money to come back?
Well, every time there's a big fight on, people always phone me and say, ah, did you see that guy? What's going on in the heavyweight scene right now?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people are actually turning away from boxing, saying there's no stars anymore. But, I always tell them that there's always an eruption in boxing. So you just have to wait and stay tuned.
Well, it moves around from division to division. In the early 70s, late 60s, seemed like a lot of heavyweight division stuff. And then it moved into the 80s and moved into the middleweight stuff. And it's a sort of cyclical thing. But how much money do you think we would be talking about for you to get back and fight one of the Klitschkos for one last fight?
Well, the sum is 30-40 mil right now.
30-40 mil, that's just to you.
Yeah, I think that's for me, yes.
Well, Vitaly Klitschko says he'll come out of retirement if you, Lennox Lewis, will come out to fight him.
He's just saying that his muscles won't hold up anymore.
He don't think he can hold up anymore.
Yeah, he's got a soft face, and right now, every time he went into training, he always injured himself. So I don't think his body can hold up. That's what a lot of people don't realize. Boxing is survival of the fittest. So if you're even in the fight and you're losing, and the other guy gets cut, you know what I mean? This is what happened. You still win the fight.
Yeah.
Even if the other guy sprains an ankle.
Well, when you fought Klitschko the first time, or the last time you fought him, what people don't realize is he got a huge cut, a huge gash, but it wasn't from a headbutt. You opened it up with your fist.
Absolutely, yes.
And I explained that to everybody. You know, everyone was like, well, Klitschko fought a valiant fight, and if he hadn't been cut, well, he wasn't cut because of an accidental headbutt. He was cut because your fist butted his head many times and opened him up.
Right. He was actually cut in 5 places around his eye.
Because of his soft face?
Yeah, he's got a soft face. The only thing is, he wasn't getting punched by true heavyweights. He was getting punched by, you know, guys that wanted to be there. They were there for the taking.
He was fighting the Chris Byrds and the John Ruizes of the world, but he wasn't fighting super heavyweights like yourself.
No.
And there's another question. Do you think there needs to be a division for super heavyweights? Because for so many years, you know, Rocky Marciano was probably 180 pounds, maybe 178 pounds, undefeated as a heavyweight. Also, these guys, even Ali and guys like this, even guys like George Foreman, who people thought were huge and were huge heavyweights of their day, still only won about 225, 230. These guys are going 265 now, and they're 6'6", 6'7". Maybe there should be a super heavyweight division like in the Olympics. How say you, Lennox Lewis?
I say they should be because, you know, they're definitely breeding them a lot bigger and taller nowadays. You know, I thought I was the biggest heavyweight until I ran into the Klitschko, 6'8", you know, 250.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, where are they breeding these guys from? And then...
In a lab in Siberia? You want to know the truth?
I know they did have some help, so they turned out good.
What do you mean some help?
Help in the training.
Oh, I see.
You don't mean with juice and stuff like that, do you?
I plead the fifth on that.
I see.
All I know is my juice came with Jamaican cooking and my mother's dumplings.
That's
Lennox
right.
Lewis trains with McNuggets.
Yes, you were drinking spiced rum and eating plantains while these guys were on the roids.
Right.
I could go for some spiced rum and some plantains.
Is your mom a good cook?
My mom's an excellent cook.
And so the idea that you could get 30 to 40 million dollars, and I'm not going to say for one night's work, because obviously you have to train. It's not one night's work, but for what would be about 2 to 3 months of work for you?
Actually, it would be a lot more. For a fight like that, for, you know, how I would go about it, being in the sport so long, I would warm up to it. So I would have a couple fights, you know, to create the hype kind of thing.
I understand, but why do that? I mean, when Sugar Ray Leonard came out of retirement and he fought Hagler, there were no warm-up fights. He went right to Hagler, and it made it an even bigger hype.
Right.
I'm saying you could come out with a warm-up fight or two. You've been off for a while. Maybe wouldn't be as sharp as you wanted to be in this warm-up, and people would start talking. Why even chance that? Why chance injury? Why not set the fight for January 1st and then just do it?
No, I aim to win. My goal is to be successful in the ring.
So you're saying you are going to come back at some point?
No, I'm not. You said if. This is all make-believe.
You're really done. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there, done that. Time to do other things. I don't want to be a boxer all my life.
I like that. His head's still together. He's got probably $600 million in the bank.
Can I ask about your kids? Are you at McDonald's with some kids, I imagine?
I don't know who brought that McDonald's thing. I don't eat McDonald's.
Are you out with your kids?
No.
Okay.
How much money do you have socked away, ballpark? I mean, you saved your money. You didn't get a bunch of stewardesses pregnant all over the country.
Right.
You did okay, right?
Yeah, definitely under $200 million.
Under 200 mil.
Just under.
But just under 200 mil. Wow, that's a lot of quarter pounders.
There's no need to be punched in the face when you have that much.
Yeah, and it is, you know, from outside the ring, it's a sport, but inside the ring, it's a fight for your life. I mean,
different people look at it different ways. For me, it was a sport. You know, I came out of amateurs, out of the Olympics. It was a sport, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Going there and you score points, and then there was this little guy around the corner that lives up in New York. He wanted to hurt people.
Yeah, yeah. Tyson. Yeah.
So he kind of changed the game a bit, because even the public wanted to see knockouts. If they didn't see knockouts, they were disappointed.
Right.
And me, I just wanted to bring back the sweet science into the sport.
Right. The sweet science of giving Klitschko 55 stitches in his orbital socket.
Yeah, that was that. No, I was an artist then.
Well,
yeah,
what do you think
scalpel.
What do you think of Tyson now?
I think, my friends were telling me they seen a show on him the other day and you know, what he's doing and everything. You know, I just wish him the best. You know, I can only wish him the best. I don't wish any harm comes to him, and I hope he sorts himself out and lives a good life.
I'm sure that's just around the corner.
Even though he wanted to eat your babies.
He wanted to eat your babies, Lex.
I know. Yeah, you know, that really riled me up, because my mother said, "What's he talking about? You don't have no kids."
Well, I have twins, but I still look at my Ferraris as my babies. So it would be confusing that he wanted to eat my automobile. So, Lennox, let me get this straight. Klitschko, how old is Vitaly or Vitaly or whatever he's calling himself?
I think he's about 35.
He's fairly young for heavyweight to retire.
I said the same thing, because I was in the sport and I've accomplished what I've accomplished within 10 years. You know, if he wanted to be better than me, he would have to do the same. And he basically only came in, had a couple fights, and that was it.
Yeah, he didn't. Now, he's claiming maybe a knee injury sent him into early retirement.
Back and knee.
Mm-hmm. But you
think...
And he
wanted to get into politics.
He would come out of retirement in a heartbeat if somebody gave you 35 mil and someone gave him 15 or 20 mil to fight. Is that correct?
Right. I don't think he would make that much.
You don't?
No.
But he would come out for 8 or 10 mil,
yeah,
if you got 30?
Yeah, no. So he says.
No problem. All right, Lennox. Well, I'm just saying, maybe you want to think about it. We'd love to see it, and there's nothing going on in the heavyweight division.
It's time for the future for my son to rise up and take over.
Oh, your son, meaning the fruit of your loins?
Yes.
The one Tyson would have eaten had he been born.
Right.
How old is he?
He's 2.
Mm-hmm. Probably could kick my ass right now.
Well, he's made a couple nannies cry.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah.
So, Lennox, what is your routine like? Where do you live? Are you in England? Are you in California?
I live on the planet Earth. But I have a place in Miami where I stay.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
Lives on the planet Earth.
I would say no ass, Sherlock. It's a term of endearment we have here in the States. But so you're all over the place. You have homes all over the place.
Yeah.
You're independently wealthy. You never need to work again.
Somewhat.
And it sounds like you're enjoying yourself.
Very much.
And as far as plans 10 years from now, broadcast booth, politics, what do you think?
Well, I'm open to many different things. I, you know, obviously start my own business in something. I'm doing some movies right now. I just finished a movie called Johnny Was,
mm-hmm,
and it's going to be out, so look out for it. Ben Katz Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just being a family man right now, building a home in Jamaica.
Who was your toughest fight?
You know, when people ask me this, I don't really have an answer because every fight I prepare for differently. And I would say that a person that really gave me a good fight was Ray Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
They actually put us in a 15-foot ring.
Mm, small ring.
And, you know, I took two steps. My back is against the ropes, so I couldn't really be the ultimate boxer at that point. I had to really get grimy with it.
Merciless Ray Mercer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing about him was not a real big guy, but a tough guy, probably.
Yeah, he was a tough guy. He was one of those guys that really got down in the trenches.
Heyday, probably late 80s.
Yeah.
Easiest fight, Franz Botha?
No. Actually, he wasn't my easiest. You know, the easiest fights, they're still not easy because I go in there thinking it's going to be, you know, a long day. And it's easy when, you know, the fact that I don't get paid for overtime and it all ends in the first round. So
right.
Those are my easy fights.
The Lennox Lewis, probably the best heavyweight of the last 20-something years.
20 years, yeah.
Yeah, I like Tyson, and he was great to watch, and he was devastating. But if you really take a look at him, he never really beat the big names in his division.
Yeah, you know how I explain that? I explain that Mike Tyson's one-dimensional
mm-hmm.
in the sense that, you know, he comes, if he can't knock you out, you know, he's lost the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm five-dimensional. Mm. Where, you know, I can box, move, punch, jab, do all types of different things.
And you speak intelligible English, too.
Yes, and I bet do some beatbox, too.
You play,
or at least rap.
You play chess, right?
Yes, I do.
You still play?
Yeah, I play all the time. You know what I've gotten into lately? Poker.
Really?
So I'm playing poker online.
Oh, poker.
Oh. Poker.
Yeah. Not the Bavarian music, but playing. I thought you said polka. Because that would be nice. If you picked up the tuba well in your 30s.
Andrew Galata and Evander Holyfield are crying, I lost a fight to a guy who polkas.
He put down the gloves.
Texas Hold'em, et cetera.
He picked up the clarinet. Yes.
Yeah, you know, I grew up in the second home of Oktoberfest, so I know all about it. Zicka, 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 zicka. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ah, man show fan. Well, Lennox, this is a treat and a surprise. And we'd love to have you in studio whenever you're in Los Angeles.
Anytime, no problem.
Do you know where our studio is?
Where is it?
It's on planet Earth.
That's right. So it's near you.
Good place to be.
Well, enjoy yourself, Lennox. I like the idea that you got your money in the bank. Do not spend too much of it on online poker, though, my friend.
No.
Or we'll see you back in the ring real soon.
All right.
But enjoy life after boxing.
And I will. Thank you very much.
We'll be watching. You're on. You're doing the HBO fights,
yes,
right?
I do. Yes.
We'll be enjoying watching you tower over Jim Lampley. I like the idea that he speaks into your penis.
Especially when he tries to adjust it.
It's great. You tell the camera to pull back a little bit because when you guys are standing up, all I see is your junk and Jim Lampley's head. I don't even see your head anymore. I see the last button of your blazer and Jim Lampley's head in your basket.
Does
That's all
go,
I see.
Is this thing on?
Test, 1, 2.
Lennox, quickly.
Purple windscreen. Whose idea was this?
Larry Merchant. Larry Merchant's a blowhard, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Very good. The great Lennox Lewis. The candid Lennox Lewis.
Terrific.
Very now, charming.
For those, yes. For those of you who want to know what Lennox's toughest opponent, Ray Mercer, looks like, what was that show about the black family with the numbers on it? Like 3, 5, 9, 15?
227.
227.
Apartment 227.
Room 227?
Not sure what I think of you knowing that answer so fast.
Come on.
227, the show 227 from like the late 80s, early 90s or
yeah,
whatever.
The
that
Jeffersons made.
Knock off. That's right. That's right. The dad. From that
right.
show. That's what
one.
Ray Mercer looks like.
That is a good looks like.
Merciless
looks like.
Ray Mercer. There's a good one. Find out, yes, go online, see what the dad from 227 looks like,
yeah.
And then find a picture of boxing heavyweight Ray Mercer, and you will find the same guy. Same size, too. Same dimension.
Is it Hal Williams?
I don't know if that's his name. All right, Mike.
Now wait a second.
I'm going with Curtis.
What an achievement this was for Mike August.
Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Getting up off the mat.
I just schooled Duran. I had Lennox Lewis in my hip pocket from last week. Mm. I sucker him to throw the $500 back in, and now I rake the entire $1,000.
Well, it's only Tuesday.
Thank
I mean, he
you
could
very,
still come
very,
back.
Very much. Yeah, sure he will.
Let me explain what that was like. We're talking about the keeping with the boxing analogy. Tara Reid came in with just a flash knockout, phantom punch, took August down to the canvas. He didn't know what hit him. First few seconds of the first round, they just touched him up, and then pow, the haymaker known as Tara Reid drops into the canvas. But what happens? He's on his knees, he's blurry, he's disoriented. The ref is counting him out, but he looks up, and in the corner, he sees Ray. I was going to say Ray Mercer. He sees Lennox Lewis, and he uses that as the strength to pull him up, pull himself up from the canvas. Then the montage music begins. Thank you. Thank you. And he begins to go to work on the body of young Duran.
Wow. Duran, who, by the way, won last week. And, by the way, a lot of people are questioning
Thank
the judges
you.
On
Thank
this.
You. Thank you.
The judges put Duran in the lead with Tony Hawk last week, thereby
over
giving
the
him the $500 over the August phoner from The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Duran unwisely wager. He went double or nothing on that. He should have just taken the $500. Mm. Now it's $1,000.
Duran off
week.
The hizzle.
Duran's going to have a lot of work to do in the next few days.
And I must say this about Lennox Lewis. Even though Lennox was on the phone, he hung out as long as we wanted to hang out. Talked money. Mm. I like that. You know, most of the times when you say to somebody, how much would it take to get you back in the ring, or what are people talking about? It's a, more than you got, you know, a lot of that crap. But he's like 30, 40 million bucks to get me in the ring.
He also alluded to Tyson being on, no, the other guy, the Russian-sounding guy, being on the juice.
Yeah, well,
Klitschko,
you think about when guys are 6'6 and get that built.
If you saw Rocky IV, you already know that that's the case. Drago was juiced up.
By the way, listeners can still enter. We should tell you, it's not just an in-house contest. If you're listening, you could still win $500 if you outbook Lennox Lewis.
He also called his old white man colleague, Larry Merchant, a blowhard.
Nice.
That was
nice.
Good, too.
All right, Mike.
You're welcome once again.
Good job.
Enjoy yourself. Good work. That's begrudging, but good work. So, Lennox Lewis, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Did you guys find that picture of Ray Mercer yet and put it up next to the 227 guy?
I'm sure writer Mike Lynch is on it as we speak.
Yes, and while we're at it, while we're comparing sports people to sports people, Chris Carter from Inside the NFL and Godzuki.
That's right. That's one of your classes.
Godzilla's son, Godzuki, blows the smoke rings. Anyone within the sound of my voice that has a computer, go find Chris Carter for Inside the NFL, famous all-pro Viking wide out, and put him next to Godzuki, Godzilla's son. You will get a nice laugh on that one, too.
We never got to our reenactment. Poor Sarah.
Well, maybe we'll do that. A reenactment for poor Sarah after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show.
It's time now for free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Dear James Lights Out Tony, I'm writing concerning my daughter, who is 10. She signed up to play basketball, but now she cries whenever she has to go to practice or to games, and she wants to stop playing. Her mother and I divorced. Her mom says it's okay for her to quit, but I raised her believing that when you start something, you should finish it. Now it looks like I'm the bad guy. Should I let her go ahead and quit or make her finish? The Bad Guy, Circleville, Ohio.
Dear Bad Guy, before making your final decision, talk with your daughter and find out what's going on at those basketball games and practices that's driving her to tears. She may have a good reason for wanting to quit. However, if she does quit, she should replace basketball with another sport or pastime that will keep her active, such as dancing, self-defense, or gymnastics, etc.
Free advice from heavyweight champion James Lights Out Tony.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of heavyweights, sounds just like Lennox Lewis.
Exactly, really.
Same guy.
From Lennox Lewis to James Tony. Fantastic.
We are going to do one of our reenactments because Sarah, our meth head, who's now dying evidently, this is one of her last requests.
Yes, she called in, so we're making a game time decision to fulfill The 72-year-old meth head Sarah's dying request for a reenactment.
And then, the next break, Manny Puig. This guy's the shark hunter. He's the crazy guy, Cuban guy, jumps on the back of hammerheads. He's in Jackass, too. I fell in love with this man a few years back on Loveline and had to talk to him again. What he does is amazing. So we'll talk to him. But first, a reenactment. You have a story there, Teresa?
Yes. Okay. There was a man, 42 years old. He was driving, and he decided to use his penis pump for some in-car pumping pleasure.
While he was driving.
While he was driving, and obviously this was distracting.
I had to adapt mine to hook into the cigarette lighter, by the way. Smart. Best thing I ever did. Best thing. I like the double. The best. The best.
He blew a stop sign.
Best thing.
Is it the best?
The best move I ever made was adapting my penis pump to hook up to my cigarette lighter.
Nothing better.
The best. Yeah.
Okay. He blew a stop sign because he was distracted by the penis pump. His car smashed into a bus full of people. The police found him unconscious, pants around his ankles, penis pump firmly in place. Now, fortunately, no one on the bus was hurt, but the man was taken to the hospital with some head injuries, and that is where I'll leave you.
All right. So I'll be the penis pumper?
Yeah. Hold on.
Penis pumping fella.
Hold on a second. I'm angry to call her. Craig?
Yes.
You say Lennox Lewis isn't as good as I say?
That is correct, sir.
Not an exciting fighter, but he wins every fight. And who's beat him in the last 10 years?
Well, here's the thing. He's very selective on the fights he picks. And he takes on a Mike Tyson, who's on Valium and 30 pounds overweight. He takes on an Evander Holyfield, who's a walker.
Hold on.
The ring.
Yeah, Mike Tyson's not 30 pounds overweight. I'm sure he was on drugs, but he was in good shape for that fight, and he whipped him clean, and then he fights the Klitschkos, and he beats them as well. Who is he ducking?
Okay, the Klitschkos are weak, first of all, and he got a draw against Holyfield. Now, some people say, yeah, it wasn't a draw. He barely got out of there with his life. He got knocked out by Oliver McCall. Who, you say? Oliver McCall. And then,
He got knocked off on a flash knockout by Oliver McCall, who he probably took too lightly, and then he destroyed Oliver McCall the next time they fought.
Then he got knocked out by Hossein Rahman. Holyfield knocked out.
Yeah, but look, you can't do that math where this guy beat this guy, so this guy should beat that guy. Oliver McCall, he beat, and then Rahman, he whooped after that, too. So
Why didn't he take on Riddick Bowe when Riddick Bowe was in his prime?
Riddick Bowe's prime lasted 3 weeks.
That's true.
Meanwhile, Sarah's life might last 3 weeks.
Here's the thing. Look, Lennox Lewis, maybe not the most exciting heavyweight ever to grace the heavyweight division, but nobody could beat him over the last 8 or 10 years. Yeah, there's a few blemishes on his record, but overall, I think most people that know boxing would agree he's the best heavyweight out of the last 5, 8 years. You could say, what if?
You said last 20 to 25 years, and I just don't think you can discount guys like Holyfield. The guy part of a lion, and he was an
Listen, I love Holyfield. I love Holyfield as well, but Holyfield really should have just been a heavyweight, and Lennox Lewis should be a super heavyweight. I mean, there's a huge size difference between the two. Now, I'm sorry. The caller was bothering me. It was up there on the screen.
No, we've got to get into a different ring.
That's right.
That of our Make a Meth-Fueled Wish Foundation reenactment.
Let me go to that place. Okay, I'm there.
So wait a second. We didn't even establish what we're doing here. I'm going to be the penis pumper, and I will call you, and you will be what? The wife?
You'll be in the you're calling from the hospital?
You just hit a bus full of people, but you're fine with a few head injuries.
So you're the wife.
Right. And yes, you got in an accident with your penis pump on and you hit a bus of all things. And I'm the wife who's at home. I'm expecting you. I don't know where you are, but the phone rings, and that's where we begin.
Yes, it is.
Brian.
I'm sorry.
Caught off guard?
Why every time, though?
Don't think playing the oboe is going to make this any better, Brian. Put that oboe down. I would argue that if you would put the oboe down, you'd have your hands free to hit the sound effect.
Looking for pictures of Richard Lester from 227.
Thank you.
All right, answer the phone.
All right. Hello?
Mona?
Ron?
That's right.
Ron, where are you? I've had supper on the pot roast. It's starting to get dry. It's
still that's why I'm calling. You know, listen, there's been an accident.
My goodness. Somebody's hurt at work?
Wow, that somebody is me. Yeah.
Well, what happened?
Well, I crashed the car.
You got into a car? were you using the cell phone again? How many times have I told you that is a distraction?
No, electronic
device is a distraction when you're driving.
Yeah, no, I didn't use the cell phone. No, I was just hurrying. I was on my way.
Eating fast food? Did you drive through Wendy's?
No, I love your pot roast. I wouldn't spoil my dinner. I know how you get if I do that.
But you're such a good driver. I don't... In a hurry, it was the sun. Oh, the sun was coming down and caught it just right. You were blinded by the sun, yes?
No, because you have these things that you like to, you know, I think we have a nice, right? our marriage is...
I love knitting toaster cozies and Bible study.
But as we've discussed, I think our relationship can grow, as can other parts of us individually can grow.
Well,
specifically, I don't know what parts of me can grow.
You asked me to try and grow. Are you okay?
I got a little hurt on my head, but I'm all right because what's the good news is, you know how you gave me that gift for Hanukkah? I got you
that aquarium with this super deluxe pump.
Right,
yes.
Right, yeah, well, no, a different kind of pump. You gave me the...
Did you modify it in some way?
Well, actually, yeah, I thought, you know, we had talked about that to spice things up in the bedroom. You know, I thought that maybe I could try and, you know, grow my manliness a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And so I turned it into a penis pump, something to make my wang a little bit bigger.
My goodness.
Because I thought you might like that.
I would not be comfortable with that in the house.
I thought you said you wanted a bigger one.
I don't want that into the house. I'm scared the kids might find that.
Well, that's why I didn't bring it into the home.
Okay. So you just threw it in the ash can.
No, I threw it in the ash tray of the car. I had it in the glove compartment, as a matter of fact.
I was using it as junkyard. You were going to throw it away?
And my penis.
Did we just get bleeped?
What was that red light that flashed? I don't know. I'm seeing things. I bumped my head after the wreck. You.
All right. Hold on.
Wait a second. I think this reenactment might need to be interrupted by the new dump guy getting yelled at by Adam.
All right. We're getting...
This is the wish of a dying, math-affected woman.
She has one dying wish.
Here is the goddamn problem with the dumps. If it just made a beep sound, it would be fine, but it doesn't. It jumps ahead or behind or whatever in the show 8 seconds and confuses the F out of everybody, you retard. So let's decide on what we can do and what we can't do. Please, let me just say this. Forget about the reenactment for a second.
How can we?
We are stabbing ourselves with our own knives at this point. The FCC, and now...
What?
Oh, okay. I don't know. All right.
This is our third dump guy we should mention in the past month.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Rusk is in there with the dump guy, whose name we haven't gotten to know because I don't want to befriend him. He'll just get fired.
Rusk has got him in a sleeper hold. Good.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get fired. Look, I'm not the FCC.
I'm not trying
to be the FCC. They gave me guidelines. You had too much context for what you were talking about.
What about S-less?
What about what?
You just believed him for saying S-less.
No, that was an accident, actually.
Okay.
I was writing a note. Well,
fair enough. That's a mistake.
No, the first two...
Hold on. Where's the button that you can be writing a note and hit it?
Right, all of a sudden. Right by my left hand.
Do you have a penis pump on while you're doing it?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
No, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
No.
It's my second day. You guys get a little too much context.
Here's the problem.
What do you expect me to do?
Here's the problem. Too much context, I don't think is the right use of that word, but that brings us to a bigger problem, which is they have, and don't take this in the spirit in which it's intended, they have peons running the dump button, which is the problem. I'm sure you're not the highest paid guy at this station. I'm sure you're not the most qualified guy at this station.
I ran a college station for like 4 years, so I know.
Junior college does not count.
Michigan State University.
Look,
it's university.
You ran a college station. You just told me 10 seconds ago you were making yourself a note and hit the dump button with your elbow.
Well, you know, I'm getting yelled at on the air. Also, I worked with you at Loveline. Maybe you remember that?
No.
See? Exactly.
I don't remember that.
I used to have Brian's job. coincidentally.
You should be fighting hard to get it back. Well, here's all I'm saying.
Ryan doesn't remember you either, and he remembers everything.
That's because he was gone. I took his position.
You are obviously going to take a certain amount of crap on this job because you're dumping
out
the show's
content.
I'm in a
no-win situation.
You know, yes, you're a no-win. I would give you the same advice I would give to meter maids, which is quit.
The good
Have
news
some
is
dignity
you're fired.
And quit. Really, what are they paying you?
Well,
$9 an
actually,
hour?
You know what? The only reason, medical benefits.
Oh, that's
what?
A good reason.
He gets medical?
He gets medical.
Second,
Brian doesn't get any.
Neither does Jerron. Probably neither does Kyle or any of our people don't.
Well, what do you get an hour, though? What is your hourly
wage? It's not
hourly,
it's salary.
Salary.
What?
Well, I can do the math. I didn't run a college radio station,
much,
but I can figure
it
out. What is it?
It pays rent.
What do they pay you a week?
Me to do things at night, so.
What do they pay you a week?
I don't know if I can. Can I even say that?
Yeah. Sure, Lennox Lewis just said what he got paid. If you don't like
much.
The answer, you can dump
it's
your
not
answer.
Much. I mean, obviously, it's not much.
What is it? $700 a week?
Not even that.
Not even that.
No.
Okay.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Wait a second. You know what I just deduced? Someone's making more than Brian, the sound effects guy.
Here's my point.
Well,
and
wasn't Brian doing this?
It's my overall.
No, he wasn't? Okay.
It's my overall point, which is, we have a guy who's making $9.50 an hour deciding what gets out on the air on this radio show, and not only in this station in Los Angeles, but the other 10 or 11 markets we're in. I don't think that's a great strategy. I'm not blaming you.
No, but don't you think the real problem is that the FCC doesn't give us like hard guidelines?
They said
penis, by the way. You could say
no,
penis.
But he was describing
penis
what he was
pump.
Doing with it, and that's why.
But here's
the word out of context is totally
here's
cool,
the yes. There's a fundamental. Problem. There's an overall problem, as I've said before. I liken it to the terrorists. They don't have to bomb a building or blow up an airplane every other week. They just do it once every 10 years, and then we die our slow death every time we take our shoes off at the airport. The FCC levies a few fines. Everyone is scared S-less. Everyone is scared, and it's like having an evil, drunken stepdad. There's no rules.
If I had my choice, I wouldn't bleep anything. You know
Wait,
that.
Wait, dumb guy, can I know your name? I want
to
know your name.
No.
Lance. You want me to dump my name?
Adam didn't really want to know your name because he doesn't want to get too attached to me.
I know,
fired.
But yeah. I feel bad. Lance is making, you know, he's just the messenger. I see his problem.
Exactly. I'm not trying to neuter your show.
But I don't want to learn the dump guy's name like Julia Roberts didn't want to kiss in Pretty Woman.
Yes.
You know what
get
I mean? It's
attached.
Too intimate. It's going to get attached. You're just a John. You'll be moving
but
on.
Pretty
at the
Woman
end of the
ended.
Night.
It had a happy ending.
Yeah, but this isn't.
Not unless. I'll tell you what didn't have a happy ending was the reenactment. It's over. We got to go to break.
Look, let me just speak to a bigger problem here. Lance, yes, of course it's not your fault. It's the fault of the people that decide it would be a good idea to take a guy who makes $1 over minimum wage and have him control a button that controls the content of the show. We are doing it to ourselves. Nobody's going to complain. The FCC is not going to fine anybody about a penis pump. We are doing it to ourselves, and that's the sad part.
I don't want to do it. Look, it is my second day.
Lance,
I would like to keep
shut up.
One week.
Shut up.
One week.
Man. All right, we'll send you back to that college station in Eastern Michigan. Here's the point. We are effing ourselves with this, and it's the greatest joke the FCC's ever played on us. We don't know what the rules are. Jack Silver doesn't know what the rules are. All Jack Silver knows is I'm dumb, and I'm scared, and I don't want to get fined, so I'm going to tell Lance over here, who's also dumb and scared, even more dumber and even more scared, if you can imagine that, than Jack Silver. He says to him, hit that dump button, or you will end up with the last two guys who we ironically had to dump for not hitting the dump button. Now, you're scared assless, and you're hitting that thing like you're playing whack-a-mole. Thank you. All right. The answer? No answer, because the FCC will not give hard and fast guidelines.
That's the thing. No one knows. Penis pump, you could say. And in a story that was in the news about a penis pump, I think we could talk about. I think you're getting a little overly aggressive.
If there's anything worth fighting for, it's talking about enlarging a wang with a penis pump. And if you cannot,
it's not a world I want to live in.
That's right. I gotta tell you, this is like communist Germany.
Wait, hold on. What other context does one discuss a penis pump?
Hitler's Russia is better than this. I have no idea.
You can't describe the act.
It's a penis
in detail.
Pump. What do you do? Drink tea out of it?
Graphically describe.
But that's not really a sex act. It's not really a sex act either. But whatever. You're way too aggressive. It's your second day.
But you gotta
tone it down.
Cool your jets.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
And as I've said, getting fired from a $9 an hour gig is not a bad deal.
He gets insurance.
It's more than Brian
makes. Why does he get health insurance in Brian?
I don't know. I didn't know that until Lance just said it.
Does it cover therapy?
Brian doesn't get it. Kyle doesn't get it. Who else? What are you writing there?
P.A. Jerome. P.A. Chaffee.
Yeah, nobody gets...
Oh.
Phone screen of Kyle's writing BS right now.
Nobody gets... Yes, Jerron's body is being ravaged by sickle cell as we speak.
And
yet
cirrhosis.
Nothing. Oh, we just watch him die out in the hall.
And Ted obviously could use a little health insurance. And
he could use the lipo. Brian is looking for a hair transplant. Everybody.
Progeria medicine.
Right. And there's Lance sitting up in his ivory tower.
With his magic button.
And his penis.
He has carpal tunnel from all the dumping.
It is nice to know that half the time we're dumped, it's because your elbow hit the button when you're making yourself a note. All right. We need board up. Bill needs ACT. He's out of his meds. He's looking for a triple cocktail. He's got nothing. We're all dying around here.
Except dump guy Lance.
Well,
dump
let's just end the Lance. Reenactment. Lance, do you want to have a catch?
Look, Lance, don't defend yourself. As I said, it's a horrible job. It's a no-win job. And like I say to the meter maids of the world, it's your fault for taking it. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Sarah, I hope that satisfied you and your reenactment. We're going to have Manny Puig. Manny Puig, the shark hunter. He's from Jackass 2. Also Wild Boys. You're going to love this guy. He's next after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
My name is Manny Puig, also known as the Sharkman.
I consider Manny more stunning, because if you'll notice, the only scientific research he does is that which threatens his life.
You don't jump on a shark, you'll get bit.
Manny likes dangerous animals.
I dedicated my whole life to confronting and interacting with some of the world's most dangerous animals.
The Shark Man, Manny Puig, on the Adam Carolla Show.
What's happening, Manny?
How's it going?
It's good. I've settled down now. Lance, the dump guy, came in here to straighten me out during the commercial. Again, when did this become in vogue, the $9 an hour guys talking to the boss man, just to get him on the right page?
He had to let you know he wasn't afraid of you.
He wasn't scared to lose his job. He said he wasn't frightened to lose his job. I didn't mean startled like a scary movie, Lance. I meant you didn't want to lose your job. People are turning a phrase. You're scared to lose your job. Okay. Manny?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
This is happy times because
happy
Manny,
times.
Adam said, literally, I think in like the second week of the show back in January, he said, you know who we got to get in here? We got to get Manny Puig. He's a man's man, he said. And here you sit a mere 8 months later.
That's right.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, well, we can talk about the new DVD that I got at Ultimate Predator.
Yeah, what's on that new DVD?
It's I interact with alligators, sharks, bears, rattlesnakes, giant groupers.
I saw some footage of you with a great white shark in no cage.
No, that was Mark.
Oh, that was Mark?
Yeah, that was...
Who's Mark?
He's your cameraman.
He's a camera guy.
You threw him in with the great white.
Yeah, he was filming with some great whites in South Africa. Yeah.
No cage?
No cage, no.
Wow. And you go with the hammerheads, the bull sharks, tiger sharks. You ride hammerheads, yes?
I've ridden hammerheads, lemon sharks, bull sharks, makos, dusky sharks, tiger sharks.
How do you ride... So how do you ride a hammerhead shark?
I put food in my hand.
You put food in your hand?
Yeah, it's the best way. And when he comes to eat out of my hand, then I gently put my hand down his back, grab his dorsal fin, and go with him.
And he takes off?
Yes.
Do they turn around and try to bite you?
They're two behaviors in sharks that people are not aware with.
Mm-hmm.
The great hammerheads will not turn and bite you.
They won't.
They only bite when they're trying to eat you as a source of food. Now, the bull sharks and the lemon sharks will turn on you and bite you when you ride them. You got to know just how to ride them and when to let go. You got to read them when they're about to kill you. Mm-hmm. If not, they will take you out.
You know why nobody knew that the hammerhead would turn around and bite you when you tried to ride them? Because no one was ever high enough to try to ride a hammerhead shark before you.
I started the shark riding thing, and I figured out the first subject was a hammerhead, and then I tried on other sharks like lemon sharks and almost got bit. I rode a bull shark. Some of the sharks that are really dangerous.
How about you get a jet ski or a boat, though, so you can get around on the ocean like normal people instead of riding sharks? Is this a form of transportation, or are you doing this for thrills?
I like the predators, and mm-hmm. I like to push, you know, my limits with them and see what they're going to do and learn about them. I'm just fascinated by predators that attack humans.
How about the groupers? The sea grouper.
The groupers are fascinating. It's a large predatory fish. It can go up to 700 pounds. And
that's what I love. It looks like a 2-pound bass that would be in the back of a pond somewhere, but it's 700 pounds. It's like somebody hit.
They can eat like barracudas, amberjacks, stingrays.
They just swallow everything.
Yeah, they
right?
swallow everything. They have a bad temper. So once I figured that out, I know I could put my hand in front of them, they would bite my arm, and that was a method to hand catch them. I was using my arm as bait.
Yeah.
And it was fishing in its naturalist form, you know, free diving, no tanks, mm-hmm. no spears, no knives, and just let the fish bite me and then horse them to the surface and then let it go.
When it bites you, does it hurt your arm?
I wear a wetsuit, but if my wetsuit is pulled back or if they give me a lot of wetsuit, which you can see in the DVD, they'll make my arm look like hamburger.
So you noodle not the catfish, you noodle the sea bass, right?
Yes. It's noodling the sea bass in anywhere from 40 to 15 feet of water. I've done it.
And noodling is to use your arm as a hook, as bait.
Yes, you have to use your arm he's got to swallow your arm first, and that's how I catch him. If you put your hand from behind, like in his gills or something like that, and try to grab him that way, if he locks your hand in there, he can kill you. I won't be able to turn him back.
My grandfather used to sit me down and tell me over and over again, when you're approaching a 700-pound sea bass, son, don't noodle him via the gill. That's for the goyim. He'd say, make a fist like a man and shove it into that huge mouth of his and then just pony him up to the surface.
Well, the shark man, Manny Puig, has lots of scars on his arms, I noticed, from using his arm as bait.
Yeah, I got a few scars, not too much compared to, you know, I got a shark bite in my inner thigh. I got another shark bite here. I got one of my fingers.
On the cover of the Ultimate Predator DVD, it's you holding a bull shark, which looks like a several hundred pound bull shark, and you're holding it like somebody would, I don't know, hold a roll of carpet or something up in front of them. Is that a bull shark?
That's a bull shark. He was attacking the boat.
So you got out of the boat and decided to wrestle with him?
I reached over, grabbed the hold of his head, and got on his back while he was attacking the boat. I think he was tiring himself out attacking the boat. We're demonstrating the bull shark's temper by following around with the boat and put the boat in neutral and let the bull shark attack.
Just push on the boat?
Yeah. Prior to that, we were doing, the shark jumps.
You would jump on, you pull up next to the shark on the boat and jump onto the back of the shark?
That was an invention from Rackley, Extreme Cameraman.
He figured that out. Wow. And what about Steve Irwin? What about the manta ray, the stingrays? You ever mess with those?
I used to catch stingrays to feed them to sharks. And I know about their stinger. And I know, you know, if you put yourself in the right position, they will hit you. You know, we're always very careful.
How does the stinger work? How does it get into you?
You don't even hardly see it.
It's just down in a down position.
Now, when you step on the ray or something like that, he arcs his back and throws that stinger up.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, you have to have your chest or a part of your body is going to strike within a feet or two of the stinger.
And he'll throw it up at you.
He'll throw it up like it's on his butt, and he throws his butt up at you.
And you were doing Wild Boys, and now you're doing Jackass, too?
Yes. I'm kind of like their animal expert.
Right.
Well, I would think that having seen all the Jackass stuff, I would imagine that they encourage you to noodle with your penis at some point, yes?
I'm not about to do that. Even if they encourage me, it'll be gone.
Smart. Yeah. Oh, do the sea bass have teeth, by the way?
They have tiny little teeth that are razor sharp. If you just touch them with your hands, you start bleeding.
So they just swallow their food whole. Manny Puig in here, the ultimate predator, name of his CD. And like I said, I don't know, go online, check out some of this stuff. Watch Manny hanging on the back of hammerhead sharks being dragged around, sporting the banana hammock, but pulling it off. Mm-hmm. I got to say, I could not pull off those trunks. That is a good look on you. We'll take a quick... Yes?
You can get the DVD at Best Buy and at the other, you know...
UltimatePredatorMovie.com. UltimatePredatorMovie.com.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with the shark hunter, Manny Puig.
You asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. Jack Silver.
Yo, 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 peeps, it's your homeboy Jack Silver. Boob Watch 2006 continues. 4 days and no boobs. Coming up tomorrow, Norm MacDonald, UFC fighter Matt Hughes, Dave's Jerk List, and Mr. Brightside with Tom Likas. Gonna be off the easy. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on The Adam Carolla Show.
Manny Puig here. The Ultimate Predator, the name of his DVD. He's the shark man. Manny jumps into the water, grabs sharks, and wrestles with them or has them dragging them around. No tanks, just a Speedo.
We do free diving.
Mm-hmm.
It's breath hold diving. I like to do everything as natural as possible. Both Mark Rackley, the cameraman, and I can do over 5 minutes underwater.
Really? Five minutes underwater?
Over.
Over 5 minutes. Out in the ocean?
In the ocean or in the swamp, depending what environment we're in.
Wow.
Free diving means you have no external oxygen, no tank, nothing.
Exactly. It means, you know, just we're using a mask, fins, and a snorkel. You get a breath of air on the surface, and when you go down, you're down. A lot of times I wait on the surface when I'm hand-feeding a shark, and I use my knife to scrape up a fish, and the shark thinks I'm feeding. He'll come up to the surface to eat out of my hand, and that's one of the ways I can touch him, interact with him, entertain the shark with food.
Now, Steve Irwin recently got hit by a stingray. The grizzly man got hit in grizzly fashion a few years back, or maybe less than that. Aren't you a little bit frightened?
I can be frightened. I'm not immune to fear, but I go with the grace of God, and I push forward.
God wanted you to F with the animals? Those are his children, too. You know, he didn't put them there, and that's your play toys, Manny.
Well, it depends how you look at it, you know.
I look at it like a sane person would look at it, which is God put the fish out in the sea to be left alone, not jumped on the back by a Cuban guy in a Speedo.
Yeah, they all have a purpose, but, you know, us interacting with them, it's okay. It's a good thing to do. Yeah. I also interact with the bears, talking about the bear man.
Yeah.
My preferred position is being in the water with a bear. I can get, you know, I feel safer because I can outmaneuver the bear in the water. But on land, when we get those mock charges from the bears, that's like you don't know what's going to happen until it's over.
The mock charge. The bear will charge at you and stop?
Yes. We wanted to document bear behavior, so we needed to get mock charges. So we got close enough to bears, especially the female with cubs or something like that, so we can document the charge of the bear. And what happens, a bear runs at you, and at the last minute it stops and hisses and pounds the ground in front of you.
Right.
If it's a full-out charge, you won't be able to talk about it. It's going to rip you to pieces and kill you. So you don't know if it's going
to
be a mock.
I thought he swore you to secrecy. Like you guys did something weird sexually.
Yeah, it's kind of like you won't know the mock charge.
You don't know what the difference is.
You won't know until it's over. And then if it didn't kill you, it was a mock charge.
Well, is it true that you're supposed to just go dead if they come at you, the bear? You just pretend that? Because that seems like a bad call.
The bear's really hungry. If it's a different reason for attack, the best thing to do is don't run because you initiate more of attack.
Right.
Back off facing the bear. Give him space. First of all, you shouldn't look for the mock charge. I mean, I don't recommend anybody to do these things.
No.
Right. Well, Manny, you obviously need a high level of adrenaline, probably just to feel like we feel crossing a street. So I wonder about your love life. Like, do you need things to be extra crazy?
He's a freak in the bedroom, if that's what you're asking. No mock charge.
He noodles his ladies.
Yeah, I don't have a girlfriend. I like to go out at night and meet girls and try to pick them up and see if they see if they approach
noodle
me.
Noodle some hookers.
I like the interacting and, you know, it's all fun.
The sea is his mistress, my lady. If you want to take a spin on the Manny-mobile, that's your prerogative. But it's
the guy
end.
Who rides sharks, he probably needs a little extra something.
Well, speaking of extra something, Kobayashi is on the phone.
Oh.
The great Kobayashi. I don't know if you know this man. He's a champion in his own right. He's the hot dog eating champion. He hails from Japan. He wins every year. Kobayashi.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Hello, Kobayashi.
I have so much respect for you.
Thank you. Thank
you. Because you have pussy on show again.
Are you a fan of Manny Puig, the shark hunter?
Oh, what is his name again? Manny Pussy.
Oh, what? How dare you disrespect our guest? This man goes out.
No, I do not disrespect. I say pussy as in pussy.
Listen, I know you're drunk with power because
he's a boring. I play with the shark and I pat him on the back. That's a very scary. I eat a shark. Do you eat a shark, Manny?
If you come with me, I can get you eaten by a shark.
No.
Sounds like a threat, Kobayashi.
You and a Tad have something in the comments. Mm-hmm. You are both pussy.
I will not sit here and listen to you insult our guest, Kobayashi.
Yeah, he had sharks, and you're just an eating contest winner.
Whatever, Teresa. Would you like a foot long?
No. Thank you.
And I mean foot long as in, well, penis.
I got it.
Kobayashi thinks that just because he can eat 62, 63 hot dogs in 14 minutes at Coney Island once a year, that he somehow is better than everybody else.
Yeah, that is correct, Adam.
I like that you have respect for me, though, I got to say.
Exactly, because you show American people that Japanese people are far more superior than any other race out there.
How about Cubans?
Yeah,
I don't say nothing about Cuban.
Yes, Manny is Cuban. He hails from Cuba.
Oh, he's Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Cuban a pussy.
I tell you, a lot of tough talk, but if you're in the room, I got to believe you wouldn't be talking that way.
I would eat a Manny like a hot dog.
I will feed him to
Manny
the tiger sharks.
Manny can hold his breath for 5 minutes. I can hold my breath for 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
You'd hold
That's
your
breath. That's right. Can you do that, Manny?
No, he holds his breath for 5 minutes, right, man?
5:35 has been my longest. Minutes.
No, you can't hold it for 15.
He cannot.
David Blaine couldn't hold it for 15.
I can hold the breath for 15 minutes while eating 14 hot dog links, and then 14 hot dog links come out of my butt, and I continue to eat.
So it's a chain.
Yeah.
It's well, a Kuna
it's
Matata.
A chain. I cannot breathe.
Look, I can take him to swim with alligators and get him eaten by alligators, or I can take him with a tiger shark and swallow him whole.
All right.
It's a game show in Japan.
Kobayashi, I am only going to sit here and listen to this for another 15 to 20 minutes before I hang up on you.
I do appreciate that offer of the footlong, though. That was very kind of you.
Oh, Manny, you should not be called Manny. You should be called a woo-manny.
Oh, well, now those are fighting words. Listen, I've heard enough from Kobayashi.
The offer stands.
I got to say. You know, the guy eats, he's a hot dog eating champion. I don't know if they have those in Cuba or where you're from. I don't even know if you heard of Kobayashi.
I've heard of these eating contests. I mean, I ate a good amount, but that amount of food he ate, I mean, that's like competing with a tiger shark right there. You're going to put that much food in your stomach.
Yeah, we're comparing a real sportsman like yourself, a daredevil like yourself, with a guy who just eats hot dogs. I will not listen to it anymore. Well, just maybe one more time. Kobayashi, any final words for Manny Puig?
When was the last time you met the sportsman from Florida? You are not even legal.
Oh, he is too legal.
You're documented. You're allowed to be in this country, right?
Yeah, dude. I came over when I was 6 years old.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you know. in a boat made out of a car.
I know the guys that did that, by the way.
You do know those guys?
Yeah, I met those guys that came over in a car. You know, most people think I swam and rode sharks from Cuba here, but I was 6 years old.
Just play baseball.
Yeah, he wants you to play baseball. Stick with what you know. All right, Kobayashi. I got to say, I'm not going to insult our guests anymore.
Oh, yeah, don't do that. They do it themselves.
All right. I've heard enough. I'm sorry, Manny. He's a lot, big mouth over the phone. I don't think he'd be talking
person. I'll take him to Florida, get him to swim with alligators or sharks.
That's right.
Any of those, or with the bears, any of them things.
And we'll see who the man is. All right, listen, Manny, be careful, would you please? We don't want to lose you, another one of these animal-related fatalities.
Okay, be sure to get the video, Best Buy, and...
Yeah, the ultimate predator. Also, you can see him on Jackass 2 coming up, right?
Yes.
We'll look forward to that. We'll do news and sports. Also, I will finish my Tijuana road trip story from yesterday this time after this. Manny Puig, thank you.
Yes.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Last week in San Diego, the Adam Carolla Show threw the party of all parties.
Kind of like you guys are doing a concert.
Tony Hawk was there.
Thank you.
Chargers linebacker Sean Merriman.
My sophomore year in high school, I knocked out 4 guys in 1 game.
A bikini contest.
Let's put our hands together for all that hot pool thing.
The deaf frat guy was wasted. And we gave away $1,000 for the Ass Kiss Rodeo Champion of San Diego. Thanks to Playboy TV. Thanks for coming out and partying with us, San Diego.
God bless you guys.
And if you missed the party because you don't live in San Diego, don't worry about it. We're coming to your town soon. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, not for me, but for the folks that attended, I assume. We need to... Those live shows are a pain in the ass, let's be honest.
It was overwhelming, I thought.
Yeah, like 1,400 people or something, right?
Yeah, there was a ton of people there, and they're all pushed up against the edge of the stage. And instead of talking, I just wanted to yell every 10 seconds, I hear San Diego knows how to party. That's all I wanted to yell. So speaking of partying, I got my Tijuana road trip story to finish. We're going to do the news running behind. What a shock. We're going to do the news. We'll do the sports, and then I'll get to that story. So first, Teresa Strasser with the news.
Okay, well, I have a scant 2.5 minutes, so I'll skip the military coup in Thailand and the mystery object floating near the space shuttle and get right to the important news. For example, a lot of new shows on the fall slate, including the Megan Mullally show. She's got her own talk show. She had as her first guest Will Ferrell. He set the tone by showing up in his underpants.
Just look at you. Oh.
You know, there's an old saying.
Yeah.
When you're nervous, you should imagine people in their underwear.
Uh-huh. I don't even have to imagine.
I just wanted to cut to the chase.
I think I'm bothered by her, but I don't know why. Is it the whole Will and Grace thing? I'm bothered by everybody associated with Will and Grace. Everyone on camera, everyone off camera, everybody involved. Just guys named Will and or Grace I'm bothered by. Why am I so bothered
by
that show?
Even the ampersand bothers you now.
Does that show think it's precious? Is that why I'm bothered by it?
Yeah, I was never... Oh, thank you, Bruska. I have 2 more minutes.
Yeah.
Stay of execution.
The governor called.
Wow. Shall I move on to the Family Guy?
Yes.
Family Guy was on last night, and on the show, the character of Brian reluctantly brings Stewie on as a co-host of a radio show, and their sound effects guy is named Brian, much like ours, and their station is 97.1, much like ours. Here's a little snippet from the Family Guy.
Hey, what's up from the station that reaches the beaches? You're listening to Dingo and the Baby.
Dingo and the Baby.
Oh, baby.
What the hell are you doing? What the hell does that have to do with anything? They're just wacky sounds, you know, to liven things up.
D-I-N-G-O.
Dingo!
Dingo!
Baby!
Oh, sexy girlfriend!
Do we actually have any of those drops?
Oh, yeah.
Gay!
Yeah. Some of them sounded familiar.
That's the two of you, though. That's Adam and sound effects guy Brian. Oh, that's the two of you dudes.
Well, the Family Guy is
sweet Irish.
Across the street, and Seth probably does listen on his ride in and probably assumes the show has a few too many sound effects.
I think we get the point, Seth MacFarlane. Brian, do we?
Seth McJerk.
Okay, and with my last precious minute, I will tell you about a very, very important surgery in China. The first successful penis transplant. Unfortunately, here's what happened. A guy got a penis transplant. He was 44. He had lost his penis in a traumatic accident. No word what. A brain dead 22
years. By the way, when you get into an accident where your penis is removed.
It is traumatic.
We'll do the traumatic math. Okay. Yes.
Pardon the redundancy. Okay, so he got a penis from a brain dead 22-year-old. And it was a successful surgery. This is obviously very difficult to do. And within a few days of having the penis, he was able to urinate. So the thing was working. The man was not rejecting the organ, but they had to take the penis off after all of that, a 15-hour surgery, because the patient had a psychological rejection of the organ because it wasn't his, it was swollen. And his wife also couldn't deal with the transplanted penis, so it was removed.
Really?
Yeah, true.
So he freaked out over having a brain dead guy's
22-year-old guy's penis.
This was a episode of Full House, I believe. I saw this exact
sounds
same
familiar.
Thing go down. Yeah, it does sound familiar. And he had it removed.
Yes, it was 4 inches long, and it showed no signs of rejection. But I guess emotionally, it is. I'm sure it would be troubling to look down, and it is probably swollen.
I had this problem with my penis.
Yes.
Wasn't quite 4 inches, but I rejected my penis initially, and then we got some much-needed therapy.
And now you're fine.
We did couples counseling. Yes.
Right.
Me and my joint, and now we're thick as thieves. As a matter of fact, I can't keep my hands off him. It's like a honeymoon. Every night's a honeymoon.
I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Some game of the season last night. Perhaps the game of the millennium for the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. The Dodgers trailing by a half game. The front-running NL West leading Padres with the half game lead. Only a dozen or so games left on the slate. The NL West flag slipping away. Bottom of the ninth. Down 4 runs. Things look bleak for the Dodgers. Then Jeff Kent hit a home run. J.D. Drew hit one. Steve Garvey. I think Carl Erskine hit one. Ron Say, Pedro Guerrero. The next thing you knew, we were into extra innings. And then Nomar Garcia-Perez stepped to the plate. Man on base. Down a run. 10th inning.
Uh-oh. Wait. You set it up so nicely.
I know. Then it was... Wait. And Nomar Garcia-Perez stepped to the plate.
Here's a 3-1 from Cienes. Fly ball. Left field. Way back there. He has done it. He has done it. Nomar with a walk-off home run.
I forgot to tell you, the Dodgers are in first place.
Thank you to my colleagues, Vin Scully and Chaz Steiner. Dodgers are now up a half game in the NL West race, and they look very good for the playoffs. Will both the Padres and Dodgers make it to the playoffs? This reporter says,
No answer.
Yeah, no answer.
Okay.
I don't have the answer. And on the back pages, you might hear something about the fact that the Steelers and Jaguars played a football game last night, blah, blah. Does anybody care about that?
Well, what happened?
Well, I mean, it was 9-0. So
I didn't see
won.
It. Nine
Steelers
nil.
Only won 9-0?
No, actually, Jacksonville beat the Steelers, I guess. It was just the second week of the season. It's not like these games count
for much. When Roethlisberger gets healthy, look out, because he gets back in the lineup,
exactly.
They're going to
never... When's he coming back?
He actually was in the lineup last night. But listen, when the games count, that's when the Steelers start to play their ball. Either way, Big Ben returned triumphantly to the field. Well, maybe not so triumphantly. But after the game, he showed that the head was right in spite of the motorcycle accident and all the other physical trauma he's been through this summer.
Did you feel like you were able to find your receivers whenever you wanted to tonight?
I like raisins.
Well, maybe he's not completely square in the head.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we will take ourselves a break, and when we come back, I will tell my Tijuana road trip story. Must have been 19. Many a pilgrimage was made to Tijuana. This is a especially memorable trip, and I will tell you all about it after this.
You asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
I need to talk to my human resources person about my vision care coverage.
Oh, keep talking, baby. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, Ted. You can leave.
What's he doing in here?
Just showing up day late, a dollar short.
Well, Lindsay went to go get...
All right, I asked for a Kleenex 10 minutes ago, guys.
I had to go grab something.
Ted shows up with a handful of paper towels. Give me your sleeve, Ted.
Lose weight, get out of mom's house.
All right, that's enough.
Ew. Use his goatee.
There's oatmeal in it.
We need to keep moving along with my Tijuana story. That's right. Road trip to TJ reminded me when we drove out to San Diego a few days back that I'd made many a trip to Tijuana, taking that same route. Not in the same vehicle, though. Drove a 73 Mazda. My friend, I'll recap from yesterday. We got about halfway into it. My buddy, Todd Euler, although we called him Snake Euler, because there's a speed racer character named Snake Euler. Mm. What a name. He had his stepmom's Mazda, 73 Mazda, God knows what, but it had four bald tires, and they were showing belt. Not bald as in no tread, not bald as in Brian's head.
Come on. You had to know that was coming.
But bald as in belt showing. And no spare, but we decided to be prudent to hit the road anyway. Why not? We're probably not going to make it out of the driveway, but why not see if we can make it to Tijuana in this car? No jack, no spare, no backup plan. I grabbed my pillow from my bed and my blanket from my bed because that's the way we would roll. I was probably 19 and living in my garage.
And we hit the road. Wait a minute, Snake. The great Snake Euler. Now, we finally found, I think Snake is living in Texas. Snake?
Hey, how are you, Adam?
Great to speak to you, Todd. Telling the story, and I don't, I gotta say, it's a little bit sketchy. Now, we've went to Tijuana many times, but Todd and I decided to go alone this time. We asked Ray to go, we asked Chris to go, but nobody else could make it, so we got in your stepmom's Mazda, and we took off ourselves.
Yeah, she was good enough to let us use the RX-3, because she had the Pantera, the Aston Martin, the Bricklin, and the Excalibur.
Trophy wife. Yeah. Todd's dad's a lawyer, so she gave us the death trap to take to Mexico,
right.
Probably hoping we'd never come back. Where did we break down on our way to Mexico?
It was near San Clemente. It was near like Trestles and Old Man's, just north of Camp Pendleton. We slept under a sign that welcomed us to a. It welcomed us to some sort of city. I think it was like San Clemente.
I just remember when the car broke down. Well, the car didn't break down. The car got a blowout halfway to Tijuana, and it was at night. We got a little bit of a late start. No spare, no money, no sleeping bag. We literally just left the car by the side of the freeway, got our blankets and pillows out of the trunk where the spare should have been, and walked down the freeway off ramp. Now, we are just standing in the middle of a city we've never been in, holding a blanket and a pillow, saying, well, what direction do you want to head? We got to find some open land to spread out amongst the houses.
Right, right. There was some sort of city sign,
yes.
A municipality that kept some St. Augustine grass nice and long.
It was some sort of like sign that you'd put like a plaque, like welcome to, on a big wooden sign.
And, exactly.
And we just spread out our blankets and bivouac there, and the following morning just woke up by the sun and got the blankets and pillows and started walking back to the car.
Yes, had a nice sleep, and I told that guy if it was over $5 to put that used tire on the rim, I was going to just do it myself.
Yes, Todd thought he could put the used tire on himself. We found a gas station. We bought a used tire for about $8, and we were back on our way a mere 19 hours later.
Yep, yeah, what, we bought one used tire. Didn't think it'd be good to have two.
So
why don't we get a spare?
We were in the same position we were when we broke down. It's just we bought another bald tire and we hit the road. Now we decided we got a hotel or a motel in San Diego and decided we should do the prudent thing, which is take the trolley from San Diego to Tijuana. We didn't want to put any extra mileage on our bald tires and break down again. But we drove in a circle looking for this trolley, probably put 80 miles on the Mazda looking for it, and finally decided, screw it, we're driving to TJ. So we drove anyway. I don't remember what was on the itinerary at Tijuana. Todd, do you?
I think we were drinking. I think we were drinking, and it might have been the donkey show we were looking for.
That was, I don't think this is the time we went to Tijuana where we walked several hundred miles looking for a donkey show, and I was wearing my buddy Carl DeLutri's jacket, and he was walking behind me spitting on the back of my jacket. And each time I said, Carl, how about you quit spitting on the jacket? He said, it's my jacket.
It's my jacket. It's my jacket.
That's why you shouldn't be allowed to drink, by the way, because if you were high, you would never do that. You would never hawk loogies on the back of your own jacket.
Yeah.
But we went there. I think we went to a bar we used to go to called the Unicorn. It was down a few stairs. Little bit of a strip bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Local talent, I think.
A lot of local talent. This song was not playing. A lot of scary, heavy-set Mexican women who would kick people in the forehead with their stiletto heels if they tried to grab a little bun as they walked by. And a live band. I don't know if you remember that, Todd.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
They didn't play. They didn't spin the disc. They had three guys, average age, 81, playing a trumpet with a dent in it, one guy with a snare drum, and the other guy with a huge guitar, and that was the stripper music they would play. The
now,
strippers would come out.
Describe the local talent. Just what kind of girls are these?
Thicker than we would call attractive in
heavy,
Los Angeles.
Heavy-set women, yeah.
You know, when they're done there, they might, you know, be grinding corn or something like that.
Yes, they were haunchy, heavy-set women. After a night of taking in the local color and boozing until we probably couldn't see anymore, we thought it'd be a good idea to get back in the Mazda and see if we could point it towards San Diego. It was a different time, kids. It was actually encouraged to drive drunk back then. They actually asked you to do it. They thought it was important. We started driving back. Again, the whole mission was not to put any mileage on this car with the four bald tires, but instead, maybe because of the booze, we drove right past the exit and got about halfway back to L.A. before one of us realized that we'd now driven 50 miles past the exit where our hotel was in San Diego, and then had to turn around and get back on the freeway and head the other direction again.
And this is like the many times this has happened on your motorcycle. We went to that frat party, and we went the wrong way in Los Angeles. We went towards Santa Monica.
Hold on, Snake.
Hollywood.
You were on the back of Adam's motorcycle?
Yeah, on a different trip, we just went the wrong direction home. We just went the wrong way.
Did you have to hold
and
on?
Neither of us noticed. Oh, my goodness, we're at the beach.
Todd also was one on the road trip with me to Santa Barbara on my motorcycle, where it started raining the second we got on the freeway. After about 70 miles of riding in the driving rain and being sopping wet, I just whizzed myself. I actually whizzed myself. I was freezing. I was dying of hypothermia. I was soaked anyway. I wasn't going to pull over. I could use the warmth, and I was just going 75 miles an hour and just going like Grandpa.
The movie Dumb and Dumber stole that from you.
Yes.
Wait a second. You whizzed yourself with Snake on the back?
No, Snake was on another motorcycle.
Okay.
At that time, being shocked because of an electrical problem on his motorcycle.
My spark plug wire needed to be, needed some electric tape, but I didn't have time for that. So if my leg ever touched the block, it would electrocute my leg.
I just saw sparks flying out at night as it was raining. We were driving.
If he whizzed himself, he'd be dead right now.
That's right. And number two, well, who knows? He may have killed somebody else. On another day, I will tell the story about us going to Tijuana. Another time, borrowing my sister's car and then not coming home.
Broke down in El Toro.
Broke down in El Toro.
How late was I that time? Oh, yeah, Adam, the water mixed it with the gas.
I never did bring the car back. I borrowed my sister's car. I came back with $30.
And no car.
Where's the car? It's in El Toro.
Well, yes. How about someday you tell the story about why you lived in a garage in your teen years?
Well, we could go over that one as well. So the point is we...
You gotta go through the furnace to make the steel, right, Adam?
We got...
Yes.
That's right.
I like
Thank
that,
you.
Snake. Well put.
We did get back to San Diego at some point, collapsed, and I believe made it home from TJ without incident.
Made it home, returned my stepmother her car.
That's right.
Wait, Snake, where are you calling from and what do you do these days?
I'm in Texas. I grow, let's say you wanted organic baby sunflower
spinach.
Greens or a pate made of sprouted sunflower seeds mixed with cumin and things like that. I've got a business called Groovy Greens in Austin, Texas, and I got 5 acres just west of there.
Oh. Yep, quite a departure from the old North Hollywood days when you were stabbing your friends and firing your .22 rifle in your condo at a can of dog food.
Yep, with that gas pipe in there too. That gas pipe.
He put the can of food in the fireplace and then fired at it with the gun. It's a good idea. All right, Snake, we'll be back and we'll call on you from time to time to help us out with these stories.
Nice talking to you.
I do appreciate it. Yeah. Next Tijuana road trip story, I'll get a little more graphic, but...
I was waiting for the donkey show, and...
We looked. Man, did we look for that donkey show. As God is my witness, we looked for that donkey show, and we walked all over Tijuana, loaded, 5 of us, and never did find it. I think it's an urban myth, but... I'll tell the story about when I blew up my sister's car on the way to Tijuana. Again, said I went to Tijuana. 2 of the times I went to Tijuana. One time it took me 22 hours to get there. The other time it took me about 14 hours to get there just because of problems. Can you imagine your car breaks down on the freeway and you just get your pillow and start walking? All right, we'll take a quick break. You have any good road trip stories? 866-901-ADAM. We'll talk to you after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show.
This is the Deaf Fat Guy. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Just so people know who my buddy Todd Snake is, who just called in from Texas. He is the guy, I've told the story before, my buddy Ray was cheating with my buddy Chris's girlfriend. My buddy Chris and this girl were together for a long time, but Ray was cheating with her. And nobody could know, because if Chris would have found out, there would have been trouble. That would have been Clash of the Gargantuans.
Two heavyweights, yes.
They were at a party. They were all at a party in a big house, and Ray and this girl stealed away to make a little time in the bedroom, and my buddy Todd walked in and caught him. And he said, I'm going back into that party. And I'm going to find Chris, and I'm going to tell him what you guys were doing, unless she starts making out with me right now. And Ray said, honey, I love you. Start making out with Snake right now.
I really did dodge a bullet.
Sloppy, drunken Snake, while sloppy, drunken Ray stood there and watch him make out.
Watch his friend make out with a girl.
That's right. But look, let me just say, that's what you should be doing. You should be thinking like my buddy Snake, guys. Nothing in it for you to go tell Chris and start World War III at some guy's house. Nothing in it for you. You're going to get blamed as well. What's in it for you? You could be making out with the hot chick, too.
What's wrong with that hot chick, and where is she?
Well, what would you do? Drunken Snake is going to go back into the house. He's going to tell drunken Chris, who's going to come in, and he is not going to use the door. He'll come through the wall like Kool-Aid, and he will go right at Ray, and they will destroy the house. They've done it many times before.
Well, is Snake an okay-looking guy?
Not a bad-looking guy.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Scott?
Yes?
You flipped a car on the way to Vegas?
Yeah, up on I-15, had a blowout, flipped my truck 4.5 times, and... got out, was okay, had my seatbelt on, and I had a couple friends in the car behind me, about a half hour behind. They picked us up, we threw our bags in there, and went to Vegas anyway.
That's what I like.
You left the total car on the side of the road.
Well, there was a truck, the tow truck came, but, you know, that truck was totaled. I didn't need any more. I said, hey, you know, I'm halfway there. I'm south of Baker. Might as well get up there and
go. If you're south of Baker, you got to keep on going.
Yeah, you got to keep trucking. Even Sam Kennison, after he got in that horrible accident, went to Vegas because he was south of Baker, and rules are rules.
That's right.
Here's the deal, too, about rolling cars. You don't want to get into the halves. You want it to be five or six. Or four or five. You don't want it to be four and a half or four and three quarters.
You were upside down.
Yeah. By the end, we
That's the half
down.
Part of the roll. Yep,
and you have to climb out?
Yeah, somehow my door opened and climbed out, not a scratch on me. My passenger, he had a bit of a headache and a hurt shoulder, but...
But you went on to party in Vegas.
That's right.
That's why the terrorists hate us. That's American spirit. That's Moxie, my friend. Nice job. Let's see. Ran out of money in Tijuana. That sounds good. Jennifer?
Yeah?
You ran out of money in Tijuana.
My husband and I went down there in a 78 Fiat X19.
That car is as big as Tad. It's a 330-pound car. Yes, it's the smallest Fiat ever made, and Fiat is the smallest make ever made.
I had about $20. I was a waitress, and it was all in one. So we had dinner, then we're on the way home. We run out of gas, and it's pouring sheets of rain, so that there's a huge hill on the outside of TJ. Mm-hmm. And we ran out of gas at the top of the hill. We flagged this taxi down. They pushed us to the top of the hill, and as we're coasting down, there's no road. It's completely flooded. So we hit the water, and this tidal wave of water just covers us, and we're floating down this road. And the taxi comes up behind us and pushes us through the water, and we're able to roll into this gas station. We had to bum, like, 4 or 5 pesos just to put, a half a gallon of gas in. We were able to make it barely across the border to hit.
Must have been a nice change of pace, though, to see the Whitey panhandling for change in TJ.
Did you have any chiclets?
Yeah, you sell chiclets. That's most of the gross national product of that country comes from four-year-olds selling chiclets. Who decided? Someone said to these people many years ago, Americans, they love chiclets. They can't get them over there in the States. When they come here, you sell them chiclets.
Have you ever eaten those? Those things are the worst.
It's the world's most annoying gum. It's a half Tic Tac, half chewing gum. There's nothing good about it except for the huge brown eyes of the poor little girl that's selling you the chiclets.
After three chews, it turns to rock.
Yeah, it's a place where if you need chiclets or you need a plaster of Paris E.T. wearing a Prussian helmet, Tijuana, that's your place. All right, we need to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just enough time left for two things. One, the jerk hotline number, David.
Oh, yes. 323-930-7318. We got a nice batch going, but give us some more. 7318-930-7318.
That's tomorrow's jerk list. Now, just enough time for something we call. So what have we learned? Well, if you're going to rock the banana hammock, you must be either from Cuba or Brazil. Otherwise, you're out. I will grandfather you into the banana hammock, the thongback, or the Speedo, but you must be from a weird place or weird country. Otherwise, take it off.
That's fair.
Yeah. Don't take it off in front of me. I just mean go into the changing room, put some cutoffs on, salvage some dignity. What else have we learned? Well, if you're rejecting your penis, I know the name of a good couples counselor. Don't cut it off. Talk it out. Dave, I know you've had some trouble. You struggled with your genitalia.
Why on the air?
I know Brusco seemed like he was getting a full-blown fist fight with this in San Diego. And lastly...
Slapping his meat all night long.
Besides love, chiclets. That's Mexico's greatest export.
Good times.
I want to thank the great Joe Coy for calling in as Kobayashi, Manny Quig, Shark Hunter, Lennox Lewis, Marco Andretti. What a show. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.